Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction. Hosted by J. Cat Morris, you are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer, Max Fremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus. God and baby, Jesus help us.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America. This is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, and but then he popped back in like he's Andy Sumner, the hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with the three questions. So tune in next time, because fucking yeah, Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah! Your company that comes on Thursday night at Mount Rockford. Shut up!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I've been learning all the nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
Everybody's a cunt with me in the world. I don't know what
it's going
is.
On with you. This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Bullshit, man.
Yes, it is Thursday, April 26, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. I have a pretty good show for you tonight, I believe. I have a guest coming on tonight. I believe he's actually on hold, and that is the owner of PWS, Eric Tapout. Let me see if he's on. Eric.
Hey, how you doing, man?
How you doing? Well, this is Eric Tapout, and I just wanted to, you know, bring you on and go over a bunch of stuff about your company. You've been making all sorts of news with the things that you've been booking and everything, so... You know, I figured I'd get you on and, you know, talk about, let's start with, how'd you get started running shows?
Well, I used to be a concert promoter, actually. I was running concerts for about 5 years, did over 500 of them from, like, you know, random local hip-hop acts, New York hardcore bands, guys like Eddie Vedder. Towards the end of my run with that, I started actually booking pro wrestlers on my music shows, just to do, like, appearances, something kind of different, you know, sideshow kind of shenanigans, and eventually the wrestlers were like, why don't you just run wrestling shows? You grew up watching wrestling, why not just try it? And
right.
Sure enough, I did, and 5 years later, for better or worse, here we are talking about it. So.
Oh, wow. So was your first actual wrestling shows PWS, the company you have now?
Yeah, PWS started in 2007. Our first show was in Garfield, New Jersey on a hot and sweaty Sunday afternoon in June 2007.
Wow. Well, what was that lineup like on that card?
It was interesting. I mean, the original main event for that night was supposed to be Samoa Joe and Chris Hero, and we were also doing Eddie Kingston and Necro Butcher, and then it turned out that Necro missed a flight and Chris Hero had a car problem, so we ended up switching things up, but we had Alex Shelley and Abyss, Trent Acid, Reckless Youth, Just Incredible, Paul Enormous was there, Danny DeMonto. So, I mean, it was kind of like the same, almost the same format we have now, where it's a lot of Smart Mark indie kind of stuff mixed with some name power. And then some. We have the ECW Zombie on there. I don't want to call it Wrestle Crap Live, but I enjoy, like, the over-the-top gimmicks being utilized a certain way just to have something, like, a different kind of flavor.
Right.
You know, something for everyone, for better or worse.
Yeah, I mean, you have a really incredible product you got. I mean, the amount of names that you put on a card as well as having the indie names. Because you see a lot of shows and they'll either have, you know, your one old ECW name and then a bunch of guys you never heard of off the indies, or they'll have your indie names but none of the TV names. And you seem to do a really good blend of both.
I appreciate that. I mean, part of my thing is really, if you really look at it, I mean, ECW was such a unique company for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons that they were really unique were they were really creating new smart mark fans. You know, people
right.
were attracted to the product, and, you know, people became, you know, diehard indie fans because of that product. Right now, what we're trying to do really is, you know, hey, you know, some kid in a John Cena t-shirt might come to our show because Bret Hart or Matt Hardy's on it, and they might
right.
see a guy like a Sammy Callahan or a Teddy Hart or a Samurai Del Sol or whoever and say, oh, my God, this guy's incredible. I like this guy. This guy's going to be here next month. I want to come back for this. You know, and
right.
then they could, you know, they could see these guys wrestling in other promotions, too. So it kind of helps everybody. You know, you go
mm-hmm.
see Sammy Callahan wrestle here, there, wherever. You know, it's creating new fans, which I think is a good thing.
Definitely. And we're going to jump all over the place, different things and whatnot.
Absolutely.
But one thing I definitely want to know right off the bat is how do you afford this amount of talent? I mean, we'll get into the list later, but, man, I can't imagine. Like, whoa. How do you pull that off?
Carefully. carefully. Well, I mean, I'm not like a rich money mark. I didn't win Mega Millions or anything like that, but we believe in our product, and in order to make money, sometimes you have to spend money. And I think while the shows are loaded, I think we're hiring the correct people. You know, we're hiring people like Bret Hart, people like the Great Muta, people that an audience wants to see, you know. And, you know, judging by our last show in Rahway, which was our first time running there, we had 927 fans, and they seemed to enjoy themselves. So hopefully this is the beginning of something good in that area, so we can keep this building up. And, you know, that building, they tell me the legal capacity is 1,500. I'd like to test it out and see what we could do in that.
Yeah, I'd imagine the way you're booking, it's not going to be too far-fetched. you had mentioned Teddy Hart.
Sure.
As a, you know, an owner, knowing Teddy Hart's reputation and everything like that, a tremendous talent in the ring and everything like that, but he's not the most reliable guy to a lot of feds. I mean, might be great for one person, but not for the other. But do you have any nervousness booking guys like that?
I'll be very honest with you. We've been fortunate where we have not had a lot of bad experiences. I mean, the one notable one is Psycho Sid, who claimed he was robbed at a deli prior to our last show. I mean, how a man Sid's size gets mugged in a deli for his wallet is a little baffling, not to mention I'm actually kind of a closet nerd. I actually did some research. There's 193 delis in Memphis, Tennessee, and not one of them would have been open prior to Sid boarding his flight that morning. But neither here nor there. With guys like Teddy Hart, I've always had good experiences with Teddy. I mean, Teddy definitely had a reputation, absolutely. But that's part of what makes Teddy Teddy. Teddy's a very unique individual, and Teddy's the type of person who, on any given day, could really be the best pound-for-pound worker in the world. He truly can. And, I mean, with Teddy, I started booking him in 2007. Every time I had him, he was a pleasure to deal with, and I will always say he's gone out there and busted his ass in that ring, whether it was against Jack Evans or I had him with doing a tag match with Ruckus and Trent Acid. Another time it was him and Ruckus against Human Tornado and Jay Lethal. He always busted his ass. Out of all the times that I've had Teddy booked, there was only one instance a couple of years ago. It was right after Teddy and Jack got signed to AAA, where AAA had okayed them to do our event, and a couple of the AAA guys actually got hurt. I remember Judas Macias was one of them, and I want to say Laparca was the other. Two of the guys got hurt, and they ended up needing to pull Teddy and Jack back because they had major shows going on that weekend. So we kind of lost out. But, I mean, Teddy's never no-showed me or, you know, anything Teddy told me he would do for me, he's done. So I'll definitely stand by him. Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. You had touched on the Sid situation, and, you know, it definitely got a lot of press because I knew a lot of people who had their, you know, their phones out and were like, hey, you want to call them up? I got the. How did that whole thing go down? Other than what you already, you know, touched on.
The morning of the show, I'm driving to the rec center. Sid calls me from his home number and says, man, you ain't going to believe what happened. I'm like, yes, Sid, you're home right now. You're supposed to be in the air 3 hours ago. You're probably right. What do you got? And he explained this ridiculous situation about him getting mugged at a deli prior to boarding his flight. Keep in mind, his flight was at 6 a.m., so this would have had to happen, you know, somewhere between 3 and 5 a.m. at some mystery deli that doesn't exist.
Right.
So, I mean, we were scrambling. We were legit scrambling because we're like, crap, like, people want Sid versus Matt Hardy is one of those, you know, what the hell is this kind of matches where you have two marquee names of very conflicting styles. Both guys have big reputations. And it's like, what the hell are they going to do in the ring? I kind of want to see this, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, what are we going to do? And we were calling everybody. We had John Morrison on the phone. We were reaching out to MVP. And eventually we realized the answer was in front of us the entire time. Jay Lethal is one of the best performers in the world. And it's a shame he's not wrestling for a national company. That kid is very, very talented. And his impersonations are—it's insane. Like it's really mind-blowing what he's capable of. But I mean, we always believe to be honest with the fans. There's no reason not to. We're not trying to, you know, pull one over. You know, like we lost money booking Sid's airfare. We lost money booking Sid's hotel. And I mean, Sid is one of those kind of guys. Everything has to be very specific. He needed the nice, you know, $300 room at the Marriott. He needed the you know, specific direct flights at certain times, blah, blah, blah. You know,
right.
It's like, we understand fans are going to be pissed off. Fans spent money to see Sid, but it's like, hey, guys, we totally get it. We're pissed off, too. We wanted to see Sid. We lost money for Sid. Like, we're with you. And it got to the point that we just need to be honest and say, hey, guys, this is exactly what happened. You guys have something to say to Sid? Why don't we give him a call right now and you can voice your frustration? And the whole concept of reading his phone number is it's indie wrestling. And, you know, it's very hard sometimes to distinguish when people are being honest and when people are trying to work a crowd. We could have been calling Domino's Pizza on that phone. Who the hell, you know, who would know the difference? But we were legit calling Sid. And to prove that we were legit calling Sid, hey, guys, here's his number, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, people could easily say, guys, wow, that's really Bush League. That's non-professional. Well, I'm not a millionaire. To me, non-professional is a talent committing to do an event, getting paid money to do an event, you know, and screwing the promoter and screwing the fans. To me, that's as unprofessional as it gets. And it gets to the point that as long as guys have the freedom to do this, they're going to continue doing it. And it's not fair. It's not fair to the fans, not fair to the promoters. So it's like, we're not going to be bullied by anybody. You know, we're going to tell the truth. And if it makes us look bad to some people, well, so be it. We told the truth. If you don't like it, well, it's the truth. You know, maybe it's hard to accept that, you know, Sid, this big superstar, you know, is making something up. But that's the truth. And ironically, one of my buddies, Danny Duggan, who has wrestled for PWS in the past, he's up in Winnipeg in Canada, and he runs shows up there. And he had booked Sid about maybe a week before the last PWS event where Sid didn't show up. And Danny Duggan's event was this past weekend. And guess who called him that morning saying, hey, I'm really sorry. I missed my flight. I overslept.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it is what it is.
Well, I mean, the time before that you booked Sid, you had him up against Eddie Kingston. Was that, I mean, was he a pain in the ass on that outing or did you just luck out or...
I will say this, Sid and I have spent a lot of time on the phone together in a very heterosexual way, mind you.
right.
Sid was just putting it out there, it's wrestling, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know.
All right, what's going on these days?
You know, but Sid was always a pleasure to deal with. He was always very nice, he was very humble. I really had nothing bad to say about him at all. You know, he came to our event. What was kind of weird in Queens was, PWS events are kind of different than other indies where we do meet and greets for 2 hours before the events. You know, this way the fans could, you know, meet these guys and whatnot. And, you know, it's kind of more of a convention, like a mini convention mixed with a show.
Right.
And, you know, Sid was supposed to be there doing autographs for an allotted amount of time in addition to the match with Eddie Kingston. And after 15 minutes of sitting at the table, he decided to get up and walk away. He didn't want to sign autographs anymore. And, I mean, Sid is one of those guys that he's going to do what he wants, you know, and he, I don't want to say he's earned that right, but it's kind of like at the same time, whether he agreed to do something or not, if he changes his mind, there's really no going back. It is what it is. So other than that, you know, Sid was okay. I mean, he showed up, you know, he got in the ring. The crowd, the match was kind of quick. I mean, Eddie Kingston is one of the more popular indie guys in the New York area. So, I mean, you know, whipping Kingston to the ropes and hitting him with a choke slam for a three count within 30 seconds, the crowd in Queens that are a smart group of fans are kind of like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
You know, the match is on YouTube. If anyone wants to see it, YouTube, Sid versus Eddie Kingston, the whole thing's up there, all 45 seconds of it.
Yeah, I saw the match on YouTube, and I even talked to Eddie about it. I was like, man, what's up? You know, and he's like, I was fine with it. He's like, that's Sid, man. He's like, I'll do anything, you know, but Sid, you know, I'm fine with it. And I'm like, oh, man, Eddie, come on, you know. And he's like, nah, man, that's what they wanted to do. That's what I was going to do. That's, you know, Eddie's awesome. But,
sure.
Yeah, I expected a little more out of it. But, hey, you know.
Hey, you and me both. Exactly. To be completely honest with you, I mean, I know people are looking forward to Sid Matt Hardy, but honestly, man, Jay Lethal coming out impersonating Sid and the match he had with Hardy, I thought was tremendous. I think fans got a better match. I truly do.
Good chance. Well, to talk about Trent real quick, you know, what were your memories of him? I'm obviously a huge fan. Shows named after him. I was actually, you know, a good friend through being a fan, but since like at least the year 2000, and you know, was talking to him on a regular basis and everything until really pretty shortly before he passed. And I actually looked back at some of your tapes and stuff like that and noticed you booked one of the strangest matches I've ever seen Trent booked in, and that's Trent versus Butterbean.
Trent,
I mean, let me know a little bit of that and your memories of Trent and that whole thing.
All right. Well, I mean, for me, I'm 31. Trent and I are actually 3 weeks apart age-wise. And I was a big wrestling fan growing up, you know, like Great Kabuki, Dynamite Kid, Bruiser Brody. That's what I grew up watching. By, like, that late 90s era, I kind of stopped watching altogether, like the NWO, Stone Cold era. I really wasn't a fan. But in 2002... I saw a flyer that there was going to be an independent wrestling show in White Plains, New York at the county center. And I was like, hey, you know, let me go check this out, you know, something to do kind of thing. And I'm standing there. There's maybe 200 people. This is like an arena show, keep in mind. It was run by some soccer league or something. And I'm standing there by the men's room, and this guy comes over to me. He's like, hey, cuz, you got a cigarette, cuz? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, do I got to have a cigarette? He's like, yeah, cuz, that'd be great, cuz. Like, all right, and then, like, he introduced himself. He's like, hey, you know, my name's Mike, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I had no idea he was a wrestler. No clue. Nicest guy in the world. And we're walking back in. I'm like, all right, you know, nice meeting you. I'm walking back to my seat. And he's like, no, come hang out. I was like, come hang out? What are you talking about? Come in the locker room. Come meet people. I'm like, all right. And that's how I met Trent Acid, randomly, him bumming a cigarette, which, ironically, most of my conversations with Trent Acid have been over cigarettes. But, When PWS opened, Trent was the first person I booked. He was the very first person I called. He was the first person I wanted. He actually wrestled in the first PWS match, and he won the first match. It was Cuban Tornado, Alex Shelley, and Trent in three-way. It was the first match we ever did. Trent was always great to me. I can't really say anything bad. He definitely had his demons. And to be honest, I mean, for a while, he was getting a lot better. He really was. And, I mean, Trent was a team player. I mean, I'm sure maybe other people had different experiences with him, but me firsthand, I really, looking back, I can never say, hey, Trent screwed me on this, or Trent said he would do this and he didn't. Like, everything Trent said he would do for me, he did. And yeah, Trent and Butterbean, that was definitely interesting. That was definitely different.
where do you get that from? I don't even know where to come up with that.
It was a memorial show for Paul Enormous, one of our other wrestlers that passed away. And Paul Enormous actually at one point in time did bodyguard work for Butterbean. And we reached out to Bean and we're like, hey, we'd like to bring you in for some shows, something kind of different. And we wanted to kind of do a play hot potato with the belt a little bit, and the belt came off of Devin Moore, who was the first PWS champion. Trent took it off Devin, and then Butterbean came out and challenged him for it on the spot, hit him in the face, and that was that.
Oh, wow. That's crazy stuff. So, yeah.
That's the thing, man. PWS, where else are you going to see Butterbean versus Trent Acid? You know?
Yeah, I don't know who else would book that. I really don't. A situation I had heard about through, you know, someone who's been to a lot of shows and stuff of yours, and he said to ask you about an incident between Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Doink.
Hey, it wouldn't be a PWS show without some random controversy.
Right.
We were doing a show in White Plains, New York in 2010, and it was a convention and a show mixed together, and Duggan versus Matt Bourne, the original evil Doink the Clown, was on the show. Doink, Matt, he had contacted me through the website. He's like, hey, bro, you know, I just moved out to New Jersey from Colorado. I'm looking to get some bookings, you know, this, that, the other. And I was like, hey, listen, like, how do you feel about coming to do this show with Jim Duggan? He's like, that'd be great. He's like, we've actually never had a match. I'm thinking in my head, like, all these years, and, like, Doink the Clown's never wrestled Jim Duggan? How is that possible?
Right.
You know? And we booked the match. No one, I mean, they both knew what they were walking into. They both knew about the match well in advance. Nobody said a damn thing about there being issues or anything like that. And I don't know, man. I mean, Duggan's awesome. Duggan's always been a pleasure to work with. Matt Bourne showed up kind of dressed like a Heath Ledger-style Joker with, like, a sweatsuit on. He looked like he was about to rob a bank. It was kind of weird. People were like, who the hell is that? Is that Doink the Clown? Like, what's going on? I mean, it looked like, you know, we were going to book Johnny Cashmere as Batman to come swoop in and, you know, save the day. It was kind of weird. But, yeah, they got in the ring, and Matt Bourne took the liberty of grabbing a microphone, and he started name-calling Greg Valentine and name-calling Jim Duggan and just being raunchy. I don't know if you have a PG show or not, so I don't want to curse, but...
curse all you like. I'm filthy.
Greg Valentine's a motherfucking pussy. Jim Duggan, fuck you. I thought we were friends. And, like, this is at, like, a Catholic high school. And we were doing this show. We were donating money. And ironically, too, Captain Lobato, who had done one of our shows before, who is from the area, this was his old high school. And we were donating money from the show in Captain Lou's name to his old high school. And it's like, here's this guy, look like he's going to rob a bank, like, you know, shit talk. And we're like, what the hell's going on? And, it's on YouTube, you know, people can watch it. They're going back and forth. Matt Bourne kicks him in the face. And, you know, Matt Bourne is like, you want to work, you want to shoot. And Duggan's like, take a shot. And Matt Bourne rolls out of the ring and in typical wrestling fashion picks up a steel chair and says, come on, fat boy. And then the referee's like, what the hell do I do? Does a 10 count, awkward pause, awkward silence, double count out, and Matt Bourne gets his gear bag and leaves through a back door. Never saw him again.
Holy shit.
Again, hey, when you come to a PWS show, you definitely get more than your money's worth. You might get Bulls Mahoney vomiting in the opening match. You might get Matt Bourne shooting on people. You never know what you're going to get at a PWS show. It keeps it interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely keeps it interesting.
Yeah, we'll touch on that in a minute.
Jesus.
Now, you know, a lot of different owners and stuff like this, I like to get a little insight on this because I just hear different things and everything like that. Now, you know, when you place belts on people, does it matter to you what their push is in another Fed or, you know, what's going on with them, how they're being booked in other companies? Do you watch some of these other companies to see what's being done so you could do something different or kind of go with the flow of things? Or, you know, how do you work things that way?
I'm not a fan of flowchart booking, meaning if someone is, wrestling as a tag team with this guy and another Fed and this is their clique, I'm not bringing that into PWS. I like kind of creating our own kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, the guys that have our belts right now, if people, I don't want to say misuse, but don't book them to the caliber that we're booking them to, then maybe they're missing out because, I mean, Sami Callihan, our heavyweight champion, is one of the best friggin' workers in the world. And, I mean, Anthony Nice, it's a shame you know, that TNA isn't getting what we're getting. I mean, the fact that we have Anthony Nese wrestling in Broadway Rec Center on a PWS show in front of 927 fans yelling, you know, holy shit, you know, this is awesome. It's like,
yeah,
these guys are good, you know? So, I mean,
yeah,
if they're, you know, if they're not being utilized in that fashion elsewhere, then, I mean, I'd love to see who those promoters have that are better, because I would certainly be interested. You know, I think our talent roster is pretty decent. I mean, we have a very talented locker room. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if another promotion has, you know, Sami Callihan, you know, losing in opening matches, that's totally their business. I mean, that's them. I mean,
right.
I don't think it makes Sami look any weaker in PWS or Anthony Nese look, or our tag champs, Pat Buck and John Silver. I don't think it makes anyone else look weaker. I mean, I know what these guys could do, and I think our fans get it. So, I mean, I think that's really all that matters, you know?
Yeah. From the, I mean, when you started and you went to the show that you met Trent at, who was the promoter of that show?
Honestly, I have no idea, to be totally honest. It was a weird spot show, and I remember I'm sitting there. There's like 200 people at an arena, and it's like a 5,000-seat arena that, you know, ECW and WWE used to, you know, run shows out of. And this, you know, guy gets in the ring, you know, 80-year-old man with white hair and this, like, mustache, and he's like, tonight we're going to see some wrestling to benefit the soccer team. And somebody yelled, like, I'm the walrus at him. I'm like, oh, my God, like, what is this, you know? It was just, like, one of these, like, it was a random show. It was, remember, it was Crowbar versus Loki was on it. The Backseat Boys against Adam Flash and, oh, God, forgive me, Adam Flash and somebody, Jerry Lawler and Road Dogg. It was, like, a weird, like, kind of mishmash.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an established independent. If it was, I truly do apologize. But I viewed it. I saw the flyer, and it was just, there was no like company name on it or anything like that. I mean, if it was, I definitely apologize. So I mean, it was. I don't know. I mean, the first indie show I ever went to, I was 8 years old. I was Trans World Wrestling Federation, and I remember the main event was the Wild Samoans with Captain Lou Albano against the Masked Executioners. I was all hyped up to see the Wild Samoans, and then Sika wasn't there. I was like, that was my first experience as a fan of a no-show. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
that was my first taste of the indies. That was 1988.
Wow. You know, being from up there, you know, going to shows up north and all that stuff, have you had any, you know, experience with Goodman shows or any of that stuff back in the day?
No, I mean, honestly, that whole era when, like, Goodman was running UCW and then Jack Sabbath with ICW initially, I wasn't a wrestling fan then. I really wasn't. I wasn't really keeping up with what people were doing. I mean, I grew up watching AWA and World Class, and, you know, that's what I enjoyed. I had my old Jan figures as a kid, you know, for sure. That early 2000s era, I mean, the show with Trent in 02, that was the first time I'd seen wrestling in years. You know, it was different. It was cool getting back into it again. It kind of made me care again.
Yeah.
Frank Goodman, I'll be honest with you, I've had one conversation with Frank Goodman, and it was about the New York Yankees trading Jesus Montero for Michael Pineda, which, as a diehard Yankee fan, I said this will go down as one of the worst trades in franchise history, and Frank Goodman is absolutely not. Michael Pineda is great, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, here we go. I debate baseball people all day long. And that was my only conversation ever with Frank Goodman was about the Yankees. I've never been to any of his shows or seen any of his shows or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I have my opinions about the guy, but that's irrelevant. But
the only thing I would say is I know he called himself the Mass Maniac. If I remember correctly, there was a show in the 80s, Learning the Ropes with Lyle Alzado. He used to be a football player for the Raiders. And the entire the gimmick of the show was he was a school teacher by day and the Mass Maniac, the Mass Wrestler by night. So that was kind of come on, like, the Mass Maniac. I'm like, dude, that's Lyle Alzado's gimmick from Learning the Ropes with the chick from Degrassi Junior High was in that show also. I'm also a TV junkie.
I don't know, I just figured, you know, up there you never know. So
Jack Sabbath is someone I know pretty well. I'm familiar with his product. I mean, Jack was the guy that I don't want to say took over, could that be wrong? But if my memory serves me right, Frank Gamu was running UCW, and then Jack kind of became involved in that product, and then Frank left New York, and then Jack kind of, that promotion turned into ICW, and Jack was the promoter for that.
Right.
I'm familiar with that product only because at one point in time, I actually owned the rights to the entire DVD library, so I actually sat and watched all of it, because I'm like, I own this stuff, might as well see what it is right. that I own.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, they clearly have, like, a million, you know, miles of heat, those two. I mean,
sure.
You can only listen to so much Goodman talking about Jack Sabbath 10 years later. It's pretty annoying, but, yeah, you know, I mean, what was your interaction with Sabbath overall? Like, pretty good, or...?
I met Jack Sabbath randomly. Whatever year it was that the Royal Rumble was at the Garden, and one of my buddies like, hey, I got some free tickets. Like, you want to come with? I'm like, yeah, you know, let's go see a show. And we're sitting there. We had like pretty good seats. We had those like gimmicked souvenir chairs, you know, with the airbrushing on them. And actually,
yeah.
It's like we're leaving with the folding chairs. This guy comes over to me. He's like, yo, bro, you selling those? I'm like, you want to buy the folding chair? He's like, yeah, I'll give you like $100. I'm like, okay. And he's like, here, take a flyer. And I looked at him. I'm like, you run wrestling shows? He's like, yeah, WSU. I'm Jack Sabbath. And I'd known of him. Like, I was friendly with mutual friends of the two of us. I'd heard about him for a long time. I never actually met
yeah.
him. But that's where actually I met him. He bought my folding chair at the Garden. Jack, when PWS... 2007, 2008, Jack was a vendor at our shows. He'd come in, you know, set up shop. Actually, at one point, he actually bought PWS for me. There was a period of 3 weeks where Jack Sabbath was actually the owner of Pro Wrestling Syndicate. He bought the company, paid me. We have a whole contract and all this and that. And he booked a show, canceled it, and then called me and said, I'm giving it back to you. And, I mean, you know, definitely ups and downs of Jack through the years. But, I mean, Jack will be at our show on May 4th in Raleigh. He has a couple people signing autographs at his table. And he'll be there selling Wrestling Universe merchandise. So, I mean, you know, as of recent, anything Jack's told me he'll do, he's come through. He's done. Can't say anything bad.
Oh, that's cool. Well, the ball's vomiting. Incident. I mean, what can you say about that? Because of course there's a bunch of opinions and everything else. And
do you want me to speak as me, or do you want me to speak as a professional promoter?
I would speak as you.
Speak as me? Okay.
Yeah.
What I saw was shocking. It was a little horrifying. I felt very horrible that. A family of four in the front row got vomit on them. We refunded them and gave them free front rows for the next show. I can appreciate the fact that fans like Balls Monday. I can appreciate the fact that, you know, the aura of ECW, I totally get that.
What's that? You're breaking up a little bit. I don't...
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Test 1, 2? Yeah, okay. I'm just saying, I can appreciate that fans like Balls Mahoney. I can appreciate the aura of ECW is appealing to people, especially on the East Coast. I totally get that. I respect it. But, I mean, having just spoken about Paulie Normus, having just spoken about Trent Acid, I don't want an element of people in our locker room that may be using substances that cause them to act certain ways. And I, for one, am not going to be a person that is going to enable people to do these things. If people choose to do things on their own free time or at other shows, go right ahead. I don't care. I'm not an advocate against it. Do whatever you want. But please do not come to one of our events being hired as a talent in the condition that you are going to be vomiting in the ring. I'm not going to try to cover it with an angle. We thought about doing that. And we decided against it because we're not going to lie. We're not going to lie to the fans. We'll be very straightforward. This guy has a problem. I like him as a person, and I hope that he cleans up because I don't want to be having another memorial show for somebody else, you know, a year from now. We've had enough of those, and it's a shame. You know, it's a shame because, I mean, Bulls Mahoney as a wrestler is popular. He's liked by the fans. But, dude, getting in the ring in the condition that you're in and vomiting, sorry, not working for me.
Well, I honestly agree with you, and I can't give you enough credit for being honest about that because, you know, the first thing I saw was a bunch of stuff is, oh, you know, the chair shots out of Marty Jannetty are so brutal that look what happened. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. There's
like
no
that.
Way that this being spun.
Elijah Burke, the Pope, and the Pope is, to me, one of the most underused talents in TNA. The Pope's freaking amazing. I don't know what the hell they're doing with him. But anyway, Elijah Burke came out with this whole presser, multiple press releases about it. And I get what he was doing, and I like the Pope. And I'd love to have him back in PWS sometime soon, for sure. But I'm not going to lie and say the chair shot from Dube. I mean, Jannetty clocked him, absolutely, but give me a freaking break. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've watched Nick Gage destroy people with chairs for years,
yep.
And I never...
Exactly. Never and, you know, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly it. Our fans are not stupid. We have some of the smartest fans on the friggin' planet, and we also have new fans. Why lie? We have nothing to hide. Yeah, this guy was...
Yeah.
Whatever he was on is unfortunate. You know, it went down, and let's move past it. We're not going to go back and bring him back to explain his actions. We know it is action. No one cares. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like we have nothing to hide. You know, it would be one thing if we, like, legit, like, we're trying to pull a stunt, but, like, we're not. We have, you know, no reason to lie to fans about anything, you know?
Right. I mean, we touched on a few of those things and everything. What was actually the craziest situation you've had ever had on a show? Was it the Balls thing? Was it the, you know, Doink and Duggan? Was it something completely different?
The Balls thing, I mean, I don't even want to blow it out of proportion. I mean, it was one of these things where, first off, Balls and Marty Jannetty were not announced to be on the show. Those were kind of like day of things when Sid, you know, got mugged by the Invisible Man at the Invisible Deli. You know, we just scooped them up, and it was kind of like, you know, a weird match. Like, where would you see Marty Jannetty and Balls Mahoney? But, I mean, the whole thing of Balls vomiting, which, once again, is on YouTube, I mean, it was a 30-second thing. I remember, I think I'm actually on the video. I was standing there, like, looking at Pat Buck, like, what the hell is going on right now? I walked up to the guardrail with a bottle of water. I said to Balls, he's like, I'm so sorry. I just walked to the back. And it's funny because he apologized to me at first, but then when he got to the back, he actually was like, man, I worked everyone on that one. I'm like, come on, man. But in terms of crazy, I don't know. We've never really had anything over the top crazy. There's never been like a riot or, you know, anything bananas like that. The Matt Bourne, Jim Duggan thing was definitely weird. But, I mean, it was handled. I mean, it was handled in a way. I mean, Matt Bourne left. It wasn't like, you know, he's out there waiting in the parking lot for Duggan or for anyone. Like, you know. It happened. Most of our shows, for the most part, are fairly smooth, I think, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, nothing over the top crazy. You know, it's not like, hey, remember that time when, you know, the aliens landed and took over the show or, you know, like nothing ridiculous.
All right. Somebody asked me to ask you why you don't book Ruckus anymore.
I always thought Ruckus was a very good performer. I thought Ruckus had good matches at PWS. I cited one earlier when it was him and Teddy Hart against Human Tornado and Jay Lethal. In the period of time when Jack Sabbath owned PWS in a 3-week period, Jack had booked a bunch of people for a show. And, I mean, Jack, as the owner of the company, was responsible for paying the talent. I mean, that's the owner's responsibility. It's your show.
All right.
And Ruckus was one of those people. And when the show was canceled, Ruckus felt that I owed him money. And I explained to him, you know, this was a Jack deal. This wasn't an Eric deal. This was a Jack deal. Like, I'm sorry this happened. I'm more than happy to try to get you something else. And he wasn't very happy about it. And it was just one of those things where it's like, all right, you know, we can agree to disagree. And, I mean, not for nothing, you know, a year later, he was wrestling for Jack. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, everything's reconciled. I have nothing bad to say about Ruckus. I think he's a great performer. He's running his shows. His shows actually gets my attention because I like their booking. I actually think they put on a good product.
Right.
But I mean, it was one of those things where it's like I'm not gonna reach out to someone who is insistent that I owe them for something that really, it wasn't my fault. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it wasn't my show even, you know.
So. That's understandable. What are your thoughts on, you know, you said how, you know, his company and all of this stuff, but what are your thoughts on what are the top indies out there right now?
I'll be very honest with you, and this might be very surprising. There's a lot of indie feds I've never watched a single show of. I've never seen a Combat Zone wrestling show ever in my life. I've never seen any. I know, it sounds weird, right? I've seen clips, I've seen videos, like, and there's nothing against them. I mean, they draw and they're great and they create their own guys. That's fantastic. I've never watched an entire show. This is going to sound even more shocking. I've watched one Ring of Honor show.
Wow.
I purposely don't want to see what other people are doing because I don't want to be like, wow, that was cool. Why don't we do that too? I want to do our own things. I want to create things from scratch and, like, you know, legit from scratch.
Right.
Shows that catch my attention, like American indies, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, I think their lineups get my attention. They seem to have a good balance of guys over there, a good product.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome cards.
You know, what I've seen of Combat Zone is good. I mean, but I mean, I give Combat Zone all the credit in the world. I mean, they took a guy like a Nick Gage, or even going back, Josh Prohibition, M-Dog 20, Trent Acid, this guy, that guy. They created a lot of guys. So, I mean, if you really look at guys on the indies, like, you can look and say, that's a CZW guy. I mean, that's awesome. You know, and dude, Adam Cole, Adam Cole is phenomenal. I mean, he ran out of CZW school. His first non-CZW school match was at PWS in 2008. And, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he just main evented the Ring of Honor anniversary show in Manhattan. So, I mean, obviously, they're doing something right, you know?
Oh, yeah, he's on fire right now. Well, I mean, where do you, because, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that become popular on the indies. I mean, is it where, I mean, you more or less wait for the phone calls or, you know, how is it that you come about that without watching any of the indies? Like, you land on these guys that are clearly hot.
I say aware of who's out there. I mean, even if there are people that I've never booked, I'm aware of Kevin Steen. I'm aware of Michael Elgin. I'm aware, you know what I mean? Like, you know
right.
Who's who in the zoo. You know, I mean, it's hard not to. I mean, and then again, sometimes people surprise you. I mean, I got a phone call from Sammy Callahan, and he said, dude, you got to check out this guy, Samurai Del Sol. You'll love him. And sure enough, I did. This kid, like, he is very much like El Blazer, who's a wrestler in Japan. He also wrestles as Takuya Sugi. He does these, like, breathtaking, like, off-the-wall kind of things that are just, like, not humanly possible.
Yeah,
and
Samurai Del Sol is awesome.
Yeah, and I was blown away. I was like, wow, like, this kid is good. Like, sign me up. He's on every show from this point forward. Certain people. But then again, there's, like, other times things randomly happen. Like, A.R. Fox is a hot name right now in the indies. A.R. Fox emailed me in 2009 saying, hi, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, check out my stuff if you ever want to use me. I was like, yeah, I like what I see. And then, you know, our schedules just did not mesh up. And, you know, he ended up, you know, debuting with Combat Zone and Dragon Gate Evolve and, you know, this and that. And he's fantastic, you know. A guy like Rich Swann, for example, I'm a big Swann fan. He's a guy, Johnny Cashmere, when Swanny was 17, he's like, dude, he's like, I know you like Jack Evans. Check this kid out. He's only 17, but he's going to be good. And he was right on the money. Swanny's great. He's in Japan right now. You know, so sometimes you get lucky and I don't know. I mean, Kevin Matthews said to me, dude, there's this guy in Deep South with Kenny Omega. You know, he's up in Canada. You just give him a chance. I think you'll like him, you know, this and that. And well, we brought in Omega in 2007. And Omega, to me, honestly, is arguably the best worker in the world. I mean, he's phenomenal.
I've heard others say that, too. It wasn't just Carrie, but other people have definitely said that, too, and I mean, he's tremendous in the ring. He definitely is.
Omega is – I'm a fan of watching Kenny Omega work. I mean, you could go on YouTube and watch Kenny Omega wrestle an 8-year-old girl, and it's a phenomenal – not in a non-creeper way, and it's good. Kenny Omega wrestling a blow-up doll, again, in a non-creeper way. But that – I mean, people say all the time, hey, this guy got a good match with a broomstick or a sack of potatoes. Like, dude, this guy legit had a good match with a freaking blow-up doll. Like – I mean, yeah. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, you booked such tremendous names, you know, from top to bottom on these cards. It's just like, oh, remember that guy? Oh, this guy. Oh, my God, he's got this guy. Were there any guys that you booked, you brought them in off of, you know, the things that they've done, and it was just a letdown of a booking?
Doink the Clown. I mean, I would definitely cite that. That was a little ridiculous, but...
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, like, the last event we had Charles Wright as both Papa Shango and the Godfather. I thought he was brilliant. Brad loved him. It was, you know, well done. The Shockmaster. I mean, like, when would you ever think you're going to see the Shockmaster on an indie show in 2012? I mean, that's crazy. But, I mean, these guys are all very nice to deal with, and I think the fans appreciate their efforts, you know? I mean, these guys are obviously limited at an advanced age. You know, they're not going to, you know, do things that they did 20 years ago. But, I mean, I can't really say letdown. Off the top of my head, I mean, maybe I'm forgetting something, but...
Better. I mean, if you hit the, you know, went to the well that many times and, you know, you didn't end up with a, you know, big letdown or anything like that, that's far better. So,
Sure.
Just, you know, a lot of booking.
Coming up now, like, I'm looking forward to, we have PN News coming in June. He lives in Germany. When's the last time you saw PN News on an indie show in the States? You know? Fantasio. Like, as Fantasio, the wrestling magician. You know, Simon Dean. As Simon Dean. You know, Kevin Matthews turned me on to $5 Wrestling, the High Spots product. I became a huge fan of this. I was like, this is brilliant. Like, I love this. And we reached out to them. We have Freight Train and Dynamite, arguably two of their, you know, more well-known guys coming in. It's like, you know, fans get to see the great Muto wrestle, and then they get to see Freight Train. I mean, it's surreal, but I mean, I enjoy having a mishmash of stuff. It keeps it interesting. For me as a fan, the last thing I'd ever want to be at a show is bored. You know what I mean? And I think this is almost like a cure to boredom where we're doing, do you remember back in the 80s, the WWF at the time, they had the music albums? You know, with
I don't mean to cut you off, but I was actually, my next question was pretty much that. Like, where do you come up with this shit? Like, you got Coco Beware, and you got Slick coming in, and then PN News. I mean, is this just like you reminiscing, you know, as being a wrestling fan and saying, I'm going to make it happen, but I'll see what I could do. Let's make it happen. Or where does it come from?
I was... randomly on YouTube one night, and something came up on, like, the, you know, the recommended links on the side, and it was the original music video for Slick doing Jive Soul Bro. I was like, oh my God, like, I forgot about this. And yeah, we got him on the phone, and I called Slick, and he's like, okay, cool, you want to book me? I called my manager. I was like, no, you're not managing. He's like, well, what am I doing? I'm like, you're performing Jive Soul Bro. He's like, what? He's like, you're serious? I'm like, yep. I'm like, I want you to perform Jive Soul Bro. He's like, okay. He's like, I'm down to do it. Like, that'll be cool. He's like, I've never done it at a show. I'm like, you're doing it now. And then we got Coco Beware on the phone. Like, yeah, we don't really want you to wrestle. We kind of just want you to sing Pile Driver. And we're going to do it like a legit sing-off, back-to-back. Like, Coco Beware is Pile Driver and Jive Soul Bro by Slick.
Yeah, that's...
something you're never going to see anywhere else.
No, I'd probably say you wouldn't.
Better or worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really creative stuff. I mean, it's names
that.
And honestly, like, PN News, the first time I heard his name recently was, you know, people were throwing names around when Brodus Clay came out. And then it was that reminds me of this, that reminds me of that. And that's
and
the first time I heard PN News in a long time.
Funk, Flash Funk, guys, Two Gold Scorpio is also on those shows as well.
Yep.
The thing that's going to be fun, PN News, is one of our commentators is Peter Rosenberg. He is a DJ for Hot 97. That does the morning show for Hot 97, which is arguably the hip-hop station in the country. Now, Peter Rosenberg, on-air DJ of Hot 97, and the Rackmaster PN News. So, I mean, we could definitely get creative here and come up with some good stuff.
Wow. Well, I don't, you know, I'm sure you got many things that you're going to surprise people in the future, but what are some kind of dream matches or anything that you haven't booked anybody, you know, someone you haven't booked before that you possibly would love to get on in the future?
That's kind of a tough question, to be honest with you. I could go a number of different ways. Terry Funk is someone I've tried convincing to come do shows. He's not really doing appearances anymore. Terry Funk would be very high on my list. I'd be honored to have Bruno Sammartino do something with us at some point. The Great Kabuki is someone I grew up. I was a big Great Kabuki fan growing up. Kabuki would be awesome. Dynamite Kid, which, I mean, would never happen. But Dynamite Kid in any way, shape, or form, I think would be awesome just to have on a show. Guest commissioner or whatever, come out and wave to the crowd something. Definitely a lot of those throwback guys. In terms of, like, matches, I don't know. I mean, if Human Tornado ever decided he wanted to wrestle a guy, I'd love to do Human Tornado against Yoshihiro Tajiri. I think that would be awesome. I mean, that's a match right up my alley, you know, where it's a smart marquee match, but also an over-the-top gimmicky match at the same time. I mean, Kenny Omega versus anybody. there's a lot of good ones. I mentioned this guy, El Blazer, before. He wrestles for All Japan Pro Wrestling, which is, you know, a major promotion in Japan that we're working with now. I'd love to have him up. All Japan has a lot of great guys on their roster. Akio Bono, fans here might know as being the guy from the sumo match with the Big Show. He's somebody I'd be interested in.
Who would you book him against?
Who would I book Akio Bono against?
Yeah.
This is going to sound completely ridiculous, but Emmanuel...
So did Tri-Acid Butterbean. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, Akio Bono Butterbean would certainly be an interesting one in itself. The vision I had in my head was Emmanuel Yarborough, who was at one point the Guinness Book record holder for the world's largest athlete at 750 pounds. African-American sumo champion, did MMA. He also had a Motorola commercial for a while. And ironically, he's from Rahway, New Jersey, home of the Rahway Rec Center, which is where we run shows. I mean, something like that that's completely, like, out of the box. Like, what the hell is this kind of deal? Yeah, stuff like that. We also have a guy, Lucifer Darkside. He's legit. I apologize if I'm wrong, but me eyeballing his weight is a good 450 pounds. He does a top rope moonsault. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, a guy like that with Akio Bono, him going back and forth could definitely be interesting. You know, but they have a lot of great guys in All Japan. So that would definitely be interesting. There is a lot. I mean, kind of like what you were saying before about, you know, like, how do you find guys? You know, like a guy like Pac, you know, like UK Pac, meaning I was up on Pac many, many, many moons ago, and I was like, this guy's going to be something. I mean, he's one of the best in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I would call him the best high flyer there is today, but... I mean, everybody's got their opinion. Who knows?
This is my challenge. Anyone listening, and nothing against Pac. If you like Pac, look up El Blazer. This kid is surreal. And it's one of those things you watch. It's on El Blazer, and he also wrestles as Takua Sugi. He has like 30 different gimmicks: Yoshitsune, Mini Sema. He has a lot of different gimmicks, but he's I've never seen anything like it. It's kind of like taking. Taking Jack Evans, Pac, Samurai Del Sol, and like kind of throwing him in a blender. It's bananas.
Wow.
He does a spot. He like literally. Do you remember Jinsei Shinzaki through the crane walk on the top rope?
Yeah.
Yeah. This kid does it running at full speed.
Wow.
It's stuff like that. It's like what the hell? Like where'd this come from? But dude, Pac's awesome. Pac is a good one. You know. That's the thing. There's a lot of talent in other countries. There's a kid in Norway that I'm aware of, Erik Isaksson, who is one of the most popular wrestlers in Norway. I mean, but again, like, people here really aren't up on Norwegian wrestling. I mean, why would they be? I mean, this kid's phenomenal. You know, kind of like, maybe I compare him to, almost like a Roderick Strong meets Teddy Hart kind of. I know it's kind of a strange thing to put in a blender, but like of that kind of mold, like a Davey Richards meet the Teddy Hart kind of guy.
It's a pretty big hybrid.
Yeah. But I mean, that's, you know, the style there is a little bit different. But I mean, there's a lot of. This will sound weird too. We started scouting talent from South Africa recently too. There's talent all over the globe. There's a lot of great wrestlers out there.
Wow. Yeah, it's cool. I got another question that someone sent in.
Oh boy.
They wanted me to ask. They wanted me to ask you if you've worked with other Northeast promoters, i.e. Fat Frank, Cooter, Shane, not to overbook weekends or double book talent, and do you run into any resistance with promoters who try to muscle in on already announced dates?
Okay. Good question. FTW, I'll be very honest with you. I actually got a phone call from one of the FTW owners about 5 minutes before I called you guys, where he actually called me to apologize for trashing me on Facebook. I try my hardest to get along with other promoters because I really have no reason not to.
It's a cutthroat business. It's got to be ridiculously hard.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, I mean, anyone I've met has been nice to me for the most part. I mean, I've had conversations with Gabe over the phone before. Gabe and I get along. I like DJ Hyde. Me and DJ get along. DJ's wrestled for me before. I put over his product for Developing Stars. NYWC, I don't really know them that well. I've never really worked with them. I mean, we've rented a ring from them before. They showed up. They were punctual. They set everything up. They were great. Shane was good with me with all that kind of stuff. I can't say anything bad there. FTLB, I mean, the dude just called me and apologized. I mean, whatever. I really don't know what he said on Facebook, nor do I care. I mean, whatever. Jack Savitz I get along with. He specifically mentions Fat Frank, Jersey All-Pro. I've only had very small dealings with Jersey All-Pro, and they usually stem around the same thing, which is Teddy Hart. In 2007, we had Teddy Hart booked for a show. Actually, even a step further, our first show, we had Samoa Joe. PWS is running on a Sunday. Jersey All-Pro was running the Rahway Rec Center on the Saturday. And we agreed through Bill Behrens, who was in charge of talent at TNA at the time, that we would split Samoa Joe's airfare. And it was a deal where I booked the flight, and they sent me a money order for, you know, their half the flight, and no problem. Everything was fine. Okay?
All right.
Now, fast forward a couple months, and it's a similar situation where we're both using Teddy Hart on back-to-back shows. And I was talking to Pierre, who works as Johnny D from the D Factor for Jersey All-Pro.
Right, right.
And yeah. I said to Pierre, well, hey, listen, you know, why don't we just do the same thing in reverse? You know, last time I booked Joe's flight, and you guys sent me the money for your half. How about this time you book Teddy's flight? Tell me how much it is. Send me the itinerary, and I'll get you your half of the money. You know, pretty straightforward business, I would think. So, Teddy Hart was flying out of Calgary. Typically, that flight is between $600 and $800. It fluctuates, but it's in that range always, okay? Pierre told me, yeah, the flight was like $1,400. You owe us $700. I said, that's interesting. I'm like, would you mind showing me the itinerary? Just so I wasn't calling him out. I wasn't saying you're lying. I'm not saying how could that be. I'm just like, can you show me the itinerary? This way I know what time I can have someone there to pick him up at the airport. No, I'm not emailing you nothing. Well, you tell me I owe you money, show me what I'm paying for. And he says to me, his exact words to me, we're JAPW, who the fuck are you? I said, well, who the fuck am I? I'm the person you're asking for $700. Like, okay, no, you don't want to do it this way, fine. I got on the phone with Teddy. I said, this is what happened. What do you want to do? And Teddy, you know, handled the situation. That was my first dealing with Jersey All-Pro. Then PWS was supposed to have a show at the Queen's Elks Lodge in November of last year. And this is another, I don't want to say subject of controversy, but we had run a show there. We sold out the building. We had this date booked. We had a contract to deposit. And something happened where I got a phone call from FTW, and FTW said, hey, they're not going to allow you to do your show there. I said, well, that sucks. We have talent booked. We have tickets sold. We were doing a Bob Backlund seminar there during the daytime. Like, what are you talking about? And he said, well, the building doesn't want you guys there. They don't want wrestling there anymore. No more than 2 hours later, Jack Sabbath announced, in conjunction with FTW, ICW presents whatever Impact Wrestling, whatever their show was that night. I said, well, wait a minute. This is kind of funny. Like, I'm told that the building doesn't want wrestling here anymore. Now there's another show on the day we were supposed to run. Like, that's a little weird. And I remember I was talking with some of our guys, and I was like, look, I'm like, I don't want to cancel the show. Let's try to move the show somewhere else. And at the time, Jersey All-Pro was not running events. And we had called Fat Frank and said, hey, look, here's our position. Would you mind if we use the Rahway Rec Center? Even though you don't own the building, you don't have an exclusive on the building, I get that this was your building. You used this building for a number of years. You did your thing there, whatever. Is it okay with you? He said, go right ahead. I don't care. We're not running shows there. And then he kind of shit on what we were doing. And he's like, well, who's on your card? And we're naming people. He's like, well, if you want to draw, like, you know, 200 people, go right ahead. I'm like, all right, you know, thank you for your blessing. Have a good night, whatever. And then, you know, we started running Rahway and now Jersey All-Pro. Jersey All-Pro, back to Teddy Hart. This all comes back to Teddy. We had our show there in March. Jersey All-Pro had their show there in April. Whatever, basically at the JAP show, they announced that they're running May 5th, the day after PWS, in the same building, and they announced Teddy Hart. And, like, people are at the show, and they're texting, like, wait, what the hell are they doing? They're running the day after you, and Teddy's doing their show? Like, what's going on? I'm like, news to me. Let me find out. And I called Ted, and I said, this is what just happened. What do you know? And he's like, I don't know anything. He's like, I haven't talked to Pierre. Pierre wanted me to come down and do commentary for a shoot interview this night. He's like, I never agreed to do a show for them. I know nothing about this. And I said, well, if they think they're using you while we're flying you in, then, you know, that's fine. They can do whatever they want, but it's only fair they pay for half your flight. And, you know, Teddy spoke to them, and 2 days later, JAP said, well, now we're not running the show. So, I mean, those are my only involvements with Jersey All-Pro. To be completely honest, if I bumped into Frank or Pierre on the street, I wouldn't know who they were. Likewise, they'd probably be like, they don't know who I was either. You know, there's no heat or anything. It's just kind of weird. You know, those situations were weird. In my eyes, I thought they were weird, but, you know, that's my opinion. You know, I mean, if I expect somebody to split an airfare with me, why am I going to lie to them about the price? Why am I trying to hustle somebody? If you want to do good business, just be honest. You know, I believe in honesty. And I'm sorry, if you're not going to be honest, well, maybe you're not someone I want to do business with, you know?
No, understandable. I mean, I want to just quick run down this talent list and then ask you a question following it. And June 1st, Rahway Rec Center, as you had said, Friday, I'm definitely there. I already paid for my Muda package and the whole nine. You got Great Muda. You got Kai, Mil Mascaris, who just went into WWE Hall of Fame. You got Vader, Tommy Dreamer, Slick, the Nasty Boys, the Powers of Pain, Zima Ion, Tony Nese, the Briscoes, Too Cold Scorpio, Val Venus, Sammy Callahan, Amazing Red, Tito Santana, gotta take a breath, PN News, Coco Beware, AR Fox, Samurai Del Sol, I mean, just tremendous talent. If in a roundabout, what the fuck does that cost? No exacts, no nothing, but what do you have to put out to put on that type of talent?
We have to put out the balls as wrestling promoters to say if we do something different and something big, we believe that there's enough smart wrestling fans in the area that get it, that will appreciate what we're doing and come and support it.
I hear you.
That's really what it is, to be honest. And, I mean, as you said yourself, you know, you bought a ticket. You know, you're going to be there. It blew my mind.
Yep.
We have fans from Scotland that bought tickets. We got fans from the Netherlands that bought tickets. Fans from Japan that bought tickets. You know,
right.
I mean, cause it's funny. One of the first things I was ever told in wrestling is from Joe Panzerino of National Wrestling Superstars.
Right.
And he told me, you're nothing but a mark. And if you think you're going to build it, they're not going to come. I want to say fuck you because we're building it. And we want people to come, and people have come, and people will continue to come, and we're going to continue to do this until we're blue in the face. This isn't going to stop anytime soon.
Is there any guys you wouldn't book again?
Well, I mean, Sid might be interesting. I mean, maybe if you booked him as Lord Humongous, I don't know.
Sid,
Guys that I've booked before that I would not book again?
Yeah.
Sid, honestly, I mean, the thing is for me, too, there's sometimes a rhyme and reason for certain people that are booked, you know, that they have a specific role on a show, perhaps coordinating with other talent on the show. For example, like Lanny Poffo. I like Lanny Poffo a lot. I booked Lanny Poffo against Black Machismo. Why? Because it's something completely ridiculous. It's the brothers from another mother. You know, would I randomly go out and book Lanny Poffo against Kevin Matthews? Probably not. You know, because it wouldn't
really
make sense.
So you booked that, or you would book that?
I'm saying that's an example of a way I did book that match. I'm saying, like, you know, I would, you know, sometimes talent is typecast to do particular matches.
Yeah,
you know,
Poffo,
I mean, course,
versus, you know, Black Machismo would be fantastic.
It's on YouTube. Look it up. PWS. Oh,
I got to check that out. That's awesome.
But, I mean, that's kind of, you know, where we're at is just trying to do things that are different. I mean, you know, like the Shockmaster was great, but would I book him again to come wrestle in July? Probably not. He was just here, you know.
Right.
But, no, I honestly, man, other than Sid, I don't have anything bad to say about people. I really don't. I can't say, well, this one was here and this guy was a jerk. I really don't. I mean, we try. I mean, the thing is, too, there's only so many spots on a show. You know, you can only, you know. I mean, one of our problems last time was the show was very long. I mean, some of it was our fault. You know, maybe there was one or two too many matches on the show. And then, you know, also, I mean, unfortunately, you know, things happened. Like Dan Moff got hurt. Whatever reason, Masad and the Sheik turned into, like, a 30-minute match. You know, things like that. But, yeah, you can't always book everyone either. I mean, kind of like, you know, what somebody said before about Ruckus. It's like, I'm not opposed to booking Ruckus, but, you know, look at the card you just read. We have, like, 30 people booked. Where does he go? There's nothing against him or anybody else. There's a lot of good wrestlers out there. Just you can't always book all of them, you know?
Right. What is, you know, the TV product? Do you watch the TV product at all? Or?
Here and there.
What's
I'm aware of what's going on. Thank you.
What's your likes or dislikes of, you know, what's going on there?
TNA Impact, I think a lot of their talent's very underused. I think I'm preaching to the choir saying something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I look at TNA and I see a lot of very talented workers, and I don't really understand a lot of their booking. I don't understand why there's such a cluster of former WWE talent, because all that's doing is prohibiting them from really creating their own guys. You know, you have a girl roster with girls like, you know, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky, and, I mean, they had Christina Von Erie there. I mean, they had talented girl workers. Why does their girl division kind of resemble, you know, the WWE Divas division circa 5 years ago? I don't really get that. You know, it's things like that I don't really understand. I said before about the Pope. I think the Pope is phenomenal. I mean, that's a character that he created. He actually pitched that to WWE. That was like his own creation, that character. Which, I mean, obviously if a worker creates a character, that's something they want to be doing. It's something they believe in. And I think it's creative as all hell. I think it's great. He's charismatic. He's a good worker. He has a good look. He's different. Why is he not your world champion? I don't even know who their world champion is right now, to be honest with you.
Bobby Roode.
Hey, well, there you go. I mean, at least it's one of their guys and not, you know, whoever. But I don't watch it. WWE-wise, I mean, the Raven Punk angle seems like something I've seen before. But, I mean, it's good that they're doing it for – I mean, they're doing it for a new audience, you know. I mean, Punk is a great performer. Jericho is a great performer. They can tell a hell of a story together. You know,
somebody else's
Lesnar,
story.
Interesting. I'm sorry.
Somebody else's story, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, truth be told, absolutely.
Rehashing, whatever.
You know, I totally agree. But if I'm not mistaken, then they did a similar. WWE actually did a. I mean, I'm referring to a particular one. I think you're referring to with the reference there, but I think, didn't they do something, I want to say with, was it with Jake Roberts? I might be way off on this. I want to say they did, like, the that alcoholism angle.
I think they did.
Within WWE, maybe not, like, on the grand scale of, you know, Jericho and Punk, but I want to say that has happened.
I think you're right, and it wasn't as memorable, so I really can't, you know, pinpoint it or whatever, but I think you're right.
I know a lot of people, like, I mean, like, Raven and all that, like, I want to say with Jake, but I don't know. I mean, Brock Lesnar back in WWE, you know, it's different. I mean, Brock's a great, good performer, you know?
Yeah. What was I also going to ask you? Oh, I mean, overall, what's your goals for PWS?
My goal right now is the same that's always been, to run fun wrestling shows that fans appreciate and want to see more of, and hopefully we'll accomplish that. That's been my goal from day one. I'm not looking to take over the world or, you know, be on TV or have a PWS video game or, you know, run a show on the moon or anything crazy. I just want to run fun shows, have a good time, and give fans something special, you know, that hopefully they get something out of. That's all.
That's awesome. What do you think your best show is that you've run to this date?
I think our best show will be the one coming up, to be honest with you. I'll say our best show to date is probably the most recent one. I think these shows are getting better and better as we go. Because, I mean, as I said, I got into wrestling from, you know, being a fan of wrestling, and I was a concert promoter, which is how I segued into being a wrestling promoter.
Right.
And now I have a partner with PWS, Pat Buck, who's a legit co-owner who has a whole lot of wrestling experience, you know, to him. So now I'm getting a better perception of things now. I think my philosophy is really kind of like, you know, you go to school, you go to high school for 4 years, you go to college for 4 years. It kind of takes you 4 years to really learn something and also learn how to apply that knowledge. Well, now this is kind of the beginning of PWS year five, you know, where we kind of did trial and error and like, yeah, that kind of sucked and that was pretty good and, yeah, we could tweak this a little. You know, and now I think we have something where, again, we're still learning. We're still trial and error. There's no science. There's no, like, pro wrestling,
right,
you know, flawless show handbook that, you know, you go buy at the mall or anything. You know, but I think, you know, if you look at a PWS show from 2012 versus one from 2007, it's like night and day. I mean, that in a good way. I mean, I think what we're doing now is a lot better. I think what we were doing back then was, for the most part, you know, we had some good stuff. We definitely had some bad stuff, not going to lie. I mean, I'll be honest with you, one thing I'd like to do, you know, a lot of promotions put out these DVDs, like the best of. I want to do the worst of. I want to do, like, the worst of PWS. Like,
you want to do, like, Botchamania videos?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you know, things that were kind of meant as ha-ha that might be taken out of context, and things are just downright god-awful.
What was your worst show then?
Oh, God. We did a show called Blitzkrieg 2 in Yonkers. That was pretty bad, wrestling-wise. I thought there were some decent matches on it. The main event was a three-way ambulance match with Devin Moore, Grim Reefer, and Jesus Christ, who the hell is in that match? It was so memorable, I don't even remember. I think B-Boy was in that match. It was like and Danny D'Amato was like doing like Dan Marino impersonations, like throwing footballs around. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, we definitely had some down moments. There was a time that we ran a show in Connecticut in front of 30 people. And it was probably the best show nobody saw. I mean, you had Nick Gage hitting people with light tubes. You had Dan Moff versus Sammy Callahan was on that show. There was a lot of good matches on that show, but we could have like legit split a pizza with the crowd. I mean, it was kind of like, all right, who wants to slice of pepperoni? We got some, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of, like, weakest draw, that was pretty atrocious in Connecticut. But again, you know, I'll say it like this. We were supposed to run a show in Massachusetts. And 2 weeks before that show, we were notified that we can no longer run that show. So me, I said, well, screw this. I'm not canceling. And we found some random Knights of Columbus building in Connecticut. And they had the date open. I got told, we're running Connecticut on 2 weeks' notice on a Sunday in August. You know? So, I mean, for me, you know what? I'd rather say, yeah, you know what? We ran a show for 30 people, but, hey, at least we didn't cancel. You know? I've never canceled a show. I mean, I had the experience at the Elks Lodge where they told us we're banned, which, I mean, we tried to override and tried to move elsewhere, but unfortunately couldn't. But, I mean, that's one thing that drives me nuts. I don't understand how promoters book events, whether it's wrestling or, you know, music or anything. You know,
right.
I don't understand how you could agree to book something and then just decide one day I'm going to wake up and I'm not doing this anymore. Like that doesn't click for me. I don't get it. I can't think like that. You know, if we say we're going to do something, we're all chips are in. Like, let's do it. You know, let's do what we said we're going to do.
Absolutely. Well, I don't really have a lot more, but before I let you off, I definitely want to give you the opportunity, you know, to promote all your upcoming shows. You come in May 4th, I believe, right? 4th?
Yeah. May 4th, yeah. We're in Rahway. For people that don't know, Rahway is about, like, 10 minutes from, like, the Newark airport, and it's about 40 minutes from Manhattan. So just so people kind of have an idea, it's kind of like that central northern.
Rahway has a train station.
Rahway has a train station. It's legit 40 minutes from Penn Station into the Rahway train station. The Rahway train station is literally a two-block walk to the venue. And the train schedule is all that on the website, ProWrestlingSyndicate.com. Everything's up there to make it easy for people. We have Bret the Hitman Hart as guest commissioner, the return of Teddy Hart. Teddy hasn't, you know, wrestled in the States in a while, so it should definitely be interesting. Sami Callihan defends the belt against Jay Lethal, first-time ever match. Jerry Lynn against Marty Jannetty in a first-time-ever match, which is a match they both want to do this. They've both been asking to do this match for a while. So that should definitely kind of be a sleeper match, I would think. Matt Hardy versus Colt Cabana. We have Reality Check, Devin Moore, and Kevin Matthews against the Young Bucks. Revy Sky and Jillian Hall against Maria Kanellis and Brittany Savage. Four-way with Adam Cole, Brian XL, Zima Ion and Samurai Del Sol. What else? I'm trying to think. These shows are so loaded, I kind of lose track myself after a while.
You have Rocky Johnson on the card.
Rocky Johnson is going to be there, WWE Hall of Famer. Dan Moss against Amazing Red. Amazing Red just, for the first time in his career, did a heel turn and is now part of Reality Check, which is a stable of Kevin Matthews, Devin Moore, Jay Lethal, and now Amazing Red. So, you know, Red and Dan Moss. QT Marshall against Mike Dennis. Mike Dennis is an up-and-comer. Kind of looks like a miniature Randy Orton almost. I think he might actually surprise a lot of people. I think he might be one of those guys who are like, who the hell is this? And then they're like, holy shit, like, that guy's actually good. We're doing an 8-team gauntlet match featuring Demolition, Axel Smash, and then we're creating 7 new tag teams from scratch, basically, where we have we're doing a tag team called Enhancement Talent, Jobber Justin and Jobber Dustin, kind of a wink-wink there. We have the Fat Pack, DJ Fat Pat and Sala. These are two, dance, like, picture Too Cool, but picture them as fat guys. We have Black Up, kind of like Backup, but they're big black guys. Devious and Lucifer Darkseid. Darkseid's the 450-pounder that does the moonsault, pretty amazing stuff. It should be interesting. And guys, PWS, there's always surprises. We leaked on the Facebook page earlier that there's another legend that just got added today. We're not saying who it is, but, you know, be there live to find out. The PWS shows are always full of twists and turns, you know. It should definitely be interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. And then after that, you got the huge June lineup. And
June 1st and 2nd, back there in Raleigh. And we will be announcing matches for June 1st later this evening, actually. Or if you want, I could give you the heads up on some of them right now.
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, we're doing The Great Muta and Kai. Kai, if fans here aren't familiar with him, please go to YouTube and look up Kai, K-A-I, versus Kenny Omega. And it's a match for the All Japan Junior Heavyweight title. Kai is a former champion. This guy is awesome. He's almost like a Japanese version of Omega. He's the same kind of wrestler. It's going to be Great Muta and Kai, the tag team, against Sami Callihan and Anthony Nice, which is actually the match that All Japan wanted. That's what they wanted. They looked at our talent and said, this is the match that we want. So they're basically taking our current heavyweight champion and our tri-state champion and putting them together as a tag team against two of their top guys. So that should definitely be interesting. We have Mil Mascaris wrestling at Samurai Del Sol, where now you have arguably the greatest Lucha Libre star of all time, wrestling against arguably the best Lucha Libre star right now. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. It's, you know, kind of like the past, present, future of it all, which that definitely be interesting.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you putting Sami Callihan in the same ring with the Great Muta is fucking mark-out material on my end, so.
Glad to hear it, man. It should be a thrilling match.
Yeah.
We're doing a first-time-ever match, and this is going to sound weird, but this is actually a first-time-ever match. Powers of Pain and the Nasty Boys has actually never been done. They were in the ring all together once in WCW where Powers of Pain, they were called something else, had yellow masks on, the Masked Assassins, I think they were called, something to that effect. But actually, okay. As Warlord and Barbarian against Nas and Sag, has never been done, so we're doing that. I mentioned earlier about Slick versus Coco Beware in a sing-off, which I know is ridiculous, but Jai Soul Roll versus Pile Driver, the fans are going to finally settle the score, you know. We're doing another first time ever is Big Van Vader against Too Cold Scorpio. And these are two guys that, for fans that follow Japanese wrestling, of course, were tag champs in NOAH for a number of years, and they've never had a singles match. So we're doing it. Big Van Vader versus Too Cold Scorpio. I mean, Scorpio is a tough son of a bitch, and so is Vader. So that should definitely be interesting. You know, and, lot more still to come, believe me. There's a lot more still to come. A lot of appearances. We've mentioned names like Val Venus and Tito Santana and PN News and this one and that one. There's a lot more still to come. And we're back there night two, and there will definitely be some things to differentiate night two from night one. You know, fans coming to both nights are going to see two completely different shows. It's not going to be, oh, crap, I just saw this guy yesterday. Why do I want to see him again? It's not going to be like that. We're aware that it's a double shot in the same building, and we're not going to carny it up with a tournament or anything like that. We're just going to book very creatively and give fans their money's worth both nights.
So they are in they're both in Rahway?
Both are in Rahway. And also, too, to put it out there, because I know, people have attended shows in Rahway in the past with, you know, other promotions in the summertime, and it's very hot in that building. We're actually renting air conditioners. I don't mean like going to Home Depot and like rigging something. They're actually hiring a professional company that this is their job, where they're a cooling company where they come in with these like massive industrial units. Doing this the right way to actually come in and cool it off. Because I'll be honest, man, we ran a show around Ronkonkoma last August, and that show should have been called PWS Heatstroke because it was literally like 110 degrees in that building, and never again anything like that. So we're cooling the building down. No worries about, you know, having a heat stroke or anything, being uncomfortable or anything like that.
Cool. That's awesome. Yeah, man, thank you for coming on. I, you know, enjoyed it. And, I wish you the best in everything, man, because you're tearing it up out there.
That means a lot to you, man. Thank you for having the time to have me. And ProWrestlingSyndicate.com or Facebook.com/ProWrestlingSyndicate. Is the place to be. So thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. It's not a problem. And, I'll have you back on in the future again because, man, I don't think you're going to stop doing what you're doing anytime soon.
God hoping, you know. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, man. So we'll talk to you later.
Great. Thanks. Take care.
All right. Yeah, man. So that was Eric Tapout. Tremendous guy. Phenomenal interview. I had a great time with the dude. I think he gave us a lot of insight to, you know, what got him to this point and everything like that. I actually had a call on hold for a minute. Let me just pick this up, see who it is. Hey, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? This is Clark, and I was listening to Eric Tapout and about Preston Syndicate. You know, come to think of it, I've never really I've never seen a lot of big names and unique names go into Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I mean, there's CZW, there's Ring of Honor, there's a lot of these promotions like
right.
Jersey All Pro. There's just not a business, but
for sure.
Syndicate though, they've really brought in some really good names that I haven't seen in a while. You know, I mean, the guys talking about bringing in Bruno Sammartino and bringing in a lot of these guys and just a lot of I don't when you go to the PWS, you get basically a bit of everything. You get you get basically stuff. You get people that were wrestlers from the 80s, and then you go, like, at the show, at the last PWS show, which was, like, you know, first you had, you know, Marty Jannetty versus Balls Mahoney, and then, you know, then after that you have, you know, Masada versus, you know, somebody else, then you have Jerry Lynn, you know, it's like, you have a bit of everything, you know. Then you have Matt Hardy versus Jay Lethal.
They definitely give you a mixed bag, man.
They do give you a mixed bag, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, I mean, for a promoter to bring in Muta, I mean, must really be a serious promoter to bring in Muta, because you know, a lot of promoters, you know, a lot of them won't even bring in people like that, you know what I mean? It's very rare to find a company like PWS nowadays that'll bring in these people, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, there's Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, there's Chikara, but, you know, it's like Pro Wrestling Syndicate, you know, basically does its own thing, and for that, you know, I respect them, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah. I give the man a lot of credit for what he's doing. That's why I decided to have him on, and
a lot of credit. I mean, that guy, you know, it says it's been running since 2007, and I started following it in like 2011. Like like 2012, because when they first came to Broadway, I was like, you know, I heard a lot about this promotion in Queens, and
right.
Done some pretty hardcore stuff, and you know, they had a lot of good people, you know, and I was like, if this promotion can come to New Jersey, this will be good for New Jersey, because this company will, you know, it'll, you know, New Jersey's big on indie wrestling, but not as much as New York, not as much as Philly, you know, I mean, but, you know, it's like, I totally can see, if this company stays in Jersey, it's gonna make New Jersey indie wrestling basically good again. You know what I mean? He's got guys like Samurai Del Sol. Now that guy, Samurai Del Sol, I've never seen anything in indie wrestling in a while like Samurai Del Sol. I mean, aside from people like El Generico, and I know he's not from Mexico. I think he's from Canada, I think. But, he's big on the lucha stuff, you know, and then there's Samurai Del Sol. And my dream match would definitely, in indie wrestling, would probably be Samurai Del Sol versus El Generico, because these, you know, two guys, you got two high flyers who basically take all everything down. You know, these guys would put on a real hell of a match. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
tear it up.
Yeah, really.
Not far from happening, neither, because Dragon Gate USA is booking both of those guys, so there's a good chance that you could see that in the future.
Yeah, because, you know, you got El Generico doing that. You know, you got Del Sol both on cards. I really, really can see that happening, and it probably would be one hell of a match. And I think Gabe would be doing a great idea if he put those guys on, because, you know, I mean, not so much have a feud against them, basically.
Right.
But do like a few YouTube call outs, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I would just like to see him put over a really good match. Not make it maybe the main event, but maybe make it like a mid-card thing. But
oh, mid-card show stealer, why not?
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, really high. I mean, you know, Del Sol is something that that indie wrestling needed. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There was really not a lot of guys who had a lot of, like, their own thing, like Samurai Del Sol. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the, you know, the fact that he's bringing the Briscoes, you know, those guys are really, you know, you got the comedy, you know, you got everything else. Their guys are funny, and sometimes they can be serious and get hardcore. But,
right.
One part that
Top of the bottom, man.
Yeah, one part that Eric brought up, was when Balls Mahoney, when he threw a ball over the crowd. I mean, you know, like that was the most, like, being at a show, it's kind of the most you know, like OMG moment, you know what I mean, of going to indie shows, you know, because I'd never seen anything like that. It's pretty, you know, it was, I don't know what was wrong with him that night, you know, but I remember one time, like, before the show came out, you know, I mean, I see Balls Mahoney, I see this guy, like, everywhere, you know what I mean, I
right.
saw him in NWS, he practically knows me, you know, like, if he sees me, he'll know me, you know, a lot of ECW
right.
guys, Screamer, they'll know me, Marty Jannetty basically knows me, you know, like, I know he's not ECW, I'm just saying a lot of wrestlers, but most
no, I hear what you're saying.
But one when I was at the Syndicate show in Raleigh, and I was you know like getting you know into the rec center, there was
yeah
there you know they were all there. Balls Mahoney came up to me and was like I was like, hey Balls, what's up? He's like, yeah hi man. He's like. And he was telling somebody, he's like, I know this kid, I know him, I see him all the time. He's like, so he came up to me, and he's like, he was trying to sell me some cards for like $40, like three cards for $40. And I was looking at him like he was crazy. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, he really, like, what the fuck, you know, he's selling me, you know, these cards for like $40. And then he's like, you know, he's like, I was like, no, man, thanks, I'm all right. He's like, he just shook his head. He always does that, you know. He tries to make me buy stuff, you know. He
yeah.
tries, you know, well, like every other wrestler does, you know. But, you know, like,
cool.
You know, they came out, wrestled Marty Jannetty. I mean, and that, my opinion, that match was a no disqualification match. And, like, you know, those guys are... or past they're old, you know what I mean? They're not as
yeah.
what they used to be, you know what I mean? And, like, it wasn't so good of a match, you know what I mean? It only lasted, like, 10 minutes.
I wouldn't doubt it.
And, you know, they were only using a chair, you know what I mean? Like, only using a chair.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't get how, you know, you can just, you know, like, to just use, one chair in the match. But, I mean, other than that, I've seen them wrestle a lot better matches back in the day.
Oh, of
like,
course.
You know, like, remember back in PWA, like, 1980s, when, like, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels took on all, remember this one match in AWA? I saw it on YouTube. It was bloody.
Right.
It was a really good match.
Yeah, the Rockers are a long way from what Marty Jannetty is today, so.
Yeah, it's a real shame, though. I mean, you know, I would like to see him put on a bit of a good match, you know, I mean, he must be like 50 now, but,
yeah,
you know,
he acts on his Facebook like he's a 13-year-old girl, but, you know, teach their own.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, I remember when Balls Mahoney came out to the Evolve show, he, you know, was part of the storyline of the ECW versus ECW. And,
right, right.
You know, like, I remember that. And, like, you see, speaking of that, like, when Evolve 10, when that show ran in the ECW arena, their last show,
mm-hmm.
What I thought was when Sammy Callahan was going to come out and when he attacked Sabu and bloodied Sabu,
right.
My guess was that when he did that, and I had a feeling that when the lights went out, I had a feeling that maybe it was either like Sandman that would come out and do something. Like, I thought he would like come from the crowd. That was my guess.
Yeah, I think like, Sandman's locked up right now.
He's locked up?
I think so. Last I heard.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, that was my guess, you know, like, but then I saw him, like, a few weeks later at NWS, and I was like, Sandman, did you see that Evolve show with Sammy Callahan beating up Sabu? And Sandman was like, I don't watch that stuff, and I don't
I guess he's
that.
Not locked up.
No. This was before he was locked up.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was telling me, I don't know who that is. I don't know who Sammy Callahan is. I know who Sabu is. And, you know, and, like, I was kind of shocked because, you know. Like,
Sandman didn't know who Sabu is? Is that what you said?
No, he didn't know who,
Sammy.
Who Sammy was, you know, and, like.
Yeah,
it's like,
crazy stuff.
And, you know, like, that was my only guess. I mean, I wasn't expecting them to close out an Evolve 10 show like that with, you know, Sammy Callahan saying, you know, hit the lights and playing music, which I thought was a pretty good storyline because, in my opinion, it was just, you know, them getting ready for the new young talent. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. I loved it. Well, listen, I got to take a break and, you know, I got to get in some other stuff. But, you know, thanks for calling, man.
No problem, man. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
Good, man.
All right. So, listen, I got some other stuff to get into. I got a pretty big rant I got to get into. I got to take a pish, play this song right quick, and after this I'll get into what I've been fucking itching to get into all night. And I have my great interview, nice caller. Share his opinions on some stuff. Enjoy that all the time. Love it. And I'm just going to play this track, and then I'll be back and do what it is.
People want to think that this is the Wild West. We don't have any laws. What we don't have is enforcement of those laws.
Senator Fumo argues tougher gun laws alone won't stop shootings.
Last time I checked, we had a law against murder. It doesn't prevent people from killing people.
The governor, the mayor, the DA, they all want stricter gun laws.
Man, fuck all that bullshit. Vinny Paz, what up? Broad Street Bully in the building. I say kill them all. Terminate these roaches. Fuck that. You pay me or pay Cardo. Pay Pels or somebody. Hawkins or somebody. Pay me or pay the funeral home, nigga. Kill all y'all niggas. One. May death come to all those who cross us. The preachers, the pastors, the deacons, the coffins, church masters, closed caskets, Bible verses, long black curses, long ass debt, too big for hosts, obituary posters, getting posted. The reaper closing and he getting closer. You just fake, you blink, it's over. Saint Prop soldier here, SK shoulder gear. Grill who? Hold that there. Half a clip, now hold that there. Crouch your hip, now roll that chair. Yeah, you missed the list of the souls I spare. I double checked it, you ain't on that there. I squeeze weapons, hollow points open up like the cobra head. Collapse lungs like a fold-up chair. Flatline, clear.
Kill them all. 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 Kill them all.
My life on the line, this fucking mic is mine. The past burglar, the mass murder, the viper shrine. A strong body could never conquer a righteous mind. Some think it's destiny, some of you think it's Christ's design. You consider what I'm doing like a magical art. I consider what I'm doing like a stab through the heart. My brain moving light speed, nothing fast as my thought. You might feel a slight breeze from the savage's heart. Y'all saying Vinny is back, but Vinny never left. I just had these faggots hating and watching my every step. Everything with Vinny, very deadly, every breath. Everything with Vinny, very heavy, heavenly flesh. Y'all ain't fucking with weight, I'm doing steady reps. I'ma sell my shit and then skate like I was Terry Guest. I keep my biscuit right next to where my machete rests. Everything is everything, but pussy, death is death.
Kill them all. 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 Kill them all.
Beans, what up, cuzzo? Stay prop. Broad Street Bully. Vinny Paz, Bin Laden. Official Pistol Gang. Ad Lava, what up, cuzzo? D-Boys, re-up gang. Right.
Yeah. All right. Now check this out. Here's where I got to go with this. This is my hand has been forced. This is what it is. Now, let me break down this shit from start to finish. Now, I've always been a big fan of AR Fox. Okay, tremendous talent in the ring. There is nothing that can take that away from him. He's a phenomenal athlete. Would be the future of the business if he wasn't a fucking idiot. And I'm gonna get into this very, very heavily. So here's what this is. Now, I had him booked for last week, and I got to go before that. Well, when I first started hearing the shit on the online, at first I thought it was some bullshit rumor. Actually, the first person I actually heard it from was I came off of Best of the Best, seeing that. And then seeing, you know, I mean, dude put out a tremendous performance, really gutsy, like, put out a lot of heart in that performance. Like, he got the shit knocked out of him and just went through that shit. So, rightfully so, the next day he was getting a shitload of praise. Next thing I know, I see Nick Burke popping up and talking, you know, a bunch of stuff. Now, here's where I gotta, let me preface this. Last week, out of respect, I fucking danced around the subject, and that's not like me. I fucking danced around the subject and left the fucking facts of the matter alone out of respect to somebody who doesn't fucking respect me. So that's where that shit ends, and that's where that shit dies tonight, because that's not like me, and I went outside of my character in order to protect someone else's feelings. Don't give a fuck about my feelings. So now, tonight, this is what it is. And this isn't just like, you know, bashing for the sake of, like, oh, I got my feelings hurt, now I'm mad. Like, no. Now, there's legitimate points going down here, and this is what I'm going to do. So, all right, so the first thing I heard was Nick Burke saying, oh, you know, he was in gay porn and this and that. And da, da, da. So I'm like, man, this dude's fucked up, because he's coming out here, and he's spreading fucking rumors about this dude. And, you know what I mean? Like, why wait until someone's succeeding and then all of a sudden you're going to bring out dirt and shit like that? I haven't heard anything about it prior to that. Nothing. So I'm just like, it's whatever, you know what I mean? So then I started hearing more and more about it, and I got people hitting me up like, yo, you heard about this? And I'm like, for real? And they're like, nah, I seen it. And I really didn't go out of my way to see it, but I started, like, the more I heard, the more I believed it. In the meantime, I hit him up, yo, you want to do this interview and shit like this? Because as far as I was concerned, he was still an athlete. He's still a dude that I respected for his athletic talents in the ring. And I was going to be the guy brave enough and fucking back him enough to be like, no homo, to still have him on the show and treat him like an athlete while he's going through this fucking controversy bullshit, because I've been wanting to have him on the show and schedules just didn't line up. So now all of a sudden, when I'm like, well, fuck it, let's do it, and everybody else is coming down, yo, you heard this shit about AR Fox, you heard this shit, I'm going to be the guy that comes on the fucking air with him and treats him like a fucking athlete that he is. And then at the end, the only question I was going to ask, and I mentioned this last week, the only question I was going to ask is, do you have anything to say about the controversy online? I wasn't going to say, do you have anything to say about fucking a dude on camera? Like, I wasn't going to say that shit. And if he said, I don't want to talk about it, I wouldn't have pried. I wouldn't have done nothing. That was going to be like the last fucking question I asked him, and we would have went off air, and that would have been it. There wasn't no, like, yeah, I'm going to pull this shit out. I'm going to be the first one to ask him about it. Like, that wasn't even my fucking goal. But me putting my fucking name out there when the dude was legit doing this shit, and the fucking guy no-shows me and doesn't even have the courtesy to fucking hit me up and say, yo, my bad. Two fucking words. My bad. I'm sorry. My fault. Motherfucking anything. Not a fucking word to this goddamn day off of this motherfucker through my Facebook. Now, I fucking contacted this dude straight up. Me to him, straight up. No in-betweens, no nothing. So, what did I get a fucking response from fucking 2 days later? Fucking Brett Lauderdale. Hey, I just talked to Fox. He was at a wrestling show on Thursday night, and he got last minute booked and whatnot. let's first off, Thursday night, I don't know how many wrestling shows fucking run, but I don't know. I mean, there might be. I'm not saying he's lying on any of that shit, but first off, why the fuck is Brett Lauderdale contacting me about that shit? When did I start talking to Brett Lauderdale about what the fuck's going on with my show? Other than booking Brett Lauderdale for an interview that I enjoyed. But I never contacted him to get Fox on the show. Me and Fox went back and forth a whole shitload of times, and the fucking second he was supposed to call in, 10 o'clock he was supposed to call in last week, I fucking get an IM on Facebook from him, and he's like, yo, I'm about to call in. What do I do? So I said, I'm going to put you on right after this song. Just call in. The song's starting to end. I post, I don't see your number. What's up? Well, when he asked, I'm about to call in right now, what do I do? That was the last fucking thing I heard from him. Then I had to fucking sit on my show and look like a jackass for a fucking hour, hoping this motherfucker was going to pop up. Not to mention that my motherfucking ass didn't feel like doing a show last week. I wasn't in the fucking mood. Now it's just personal shit. That was just like my own shit. I wasn't in the mood. I was going to prolong my shit. I was going to put my shit off till Friday. But I chose not to because I said, you know what? This dude's going through some controversy and all this type of shit. And if I could be a little bit of a positive where someone's actually still treating him like he fucking means something, then maybe I could help that shit out. Maybe I could help the situation just by being a positive dude amongst a negative situation. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to make sure I just do this show anyway. I'm not going to be a dude that cancels the show on him, and God knows what he's going through. It's a hard situation, so I'm not going to fucking pull the fucking plug on him or on that shit because of that. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll do it. And what do? I stand there trying to spin fucking plates and look like a jackass for an hour. Well, that being what it is, okay, a couple days later, and this is we're going to get into a lot of audio from another show. Big shout out to Wrestling Soup. Those are my dudes, Joey Numbers, and Joey was another guy that hit me up and was like, dude, that shit is real. I've seen it. And I'm like, well, I don't really have like a gay porn website on my motherfucking thing, so I don't really like, unless you can shoot me a link, I'm not going to go out of my way to search for gay porn, because to me, and let me put this out there like this, like, if you're gay, that's cool. I don't give a fuck. I ain't gay, and honestly, as far as two dudes fucking goes, I think it's disgusting. Do I want it stopped? No. That's your business. I don't give a fuck. I mean, that's your business, but I sure don't want to see that motherfucking shit. So that's just me. That's just my taste. I mean, there's a lot of shit. I don't like to see hockey, so I don't fucking watch hockey. I don't watch gay porn. Like, there's shit that happens. It doesn't mean I want it shut down. Like, do what you want to do. I don't give a shit. If it ruins your fucking career, that's on you. That's what you chose to do. So it's whatever. That's there right there. So my dude's over there at the Wrestling Soup, Anthony Missionary Thomas, who makes all of my intros. He's fucking fantastic. The dude is talented out the ass. And Joey, you know, he's a great dude. Talk to him on the regular on Facebook and whatever. And, you know, he's a funny dude. They have the type of humor that, I mean, the Macho Man died, and the very next fucking show that they did, they had fucking George of the Jungle, watch out for that tree. I mean, they use that type of humor, and you can get it or you cannot get it. But honestly, you know, if you look at any of the top comedians in America, you know, ever, they're highly offensive, saying shit that nobody else is going to say type comics. And that's what Wrestling Soup does. So nothing about what they did that night offended me whatsoever. Now, the only thing that offended me is I got lumped into a situation where I would have never been mentioned. It would have just been like, look what this fucking asshole is doing. And then I'm on my fucking show while being no-showed from this dude. And then, well, let me start with the audio. I'm going, there was something that happened on the internet, and, you know, it's not the popular thing to do, and, you know, that thing might cause him some, you know, career problems in the future. But, you know, it, I mean, if that's what he wanted, you know, I danced around that motherfucker, and I'm not a dancer. So, well, here's the beginning of how, you know, Joey and Mish got into it. And again, fucking hilarious bit. I thought it was fucking funny as shit. But you'll see in the long run why the dude who I tried to fucking back and fucking treated me with zero fucking respect is what he is. And, well, here's how they got into it.
Speaking of people having gay sex on video, did you hear about that CZW wrestler that has gay porn out?
No, please, continue.
No, you haven't heard about this. There's a kid named A.R. Fox who is he's actually a very good high flyer. He's mm-hmm. he's a crazy, crazy kid. And I guess he did some fucking gay porn like a couple of years ago, and it just got out now. And they were posting about it on the CZW message boards. And somebody posted it, and it's clear as day, him, you know, banging a dude in the butt, getting blown by a dude. So apparently...
clear as day.
Yeah, it's clear. It's him, you know. Yeah. And it's pretty... And
now, that's how you say something blunt. That's how you say something right to the fucking point, because that's something he did. There's nothing I should be fucking ashamed of, which I never was, but I was trying to protect his feelings when he didn't give a fuck about other people's feelings, nor his own, because honestly, he wouldn't have put himself out there like that if that was the case. Okay, let me also mention this before I hit the next clip, because then they proceeded to play the audio from his porn. And make fun of it, and rightfully so. And let me start with this, too. Wasn't it CZW, wasn't it DJ Hyde, wasn't it the people involved with that got people's YouTube accounts completely fucking banned? They people's YouTube accounts got shut down because people were making tribute videos to people alive and dead, which I got to be fucking honest with you, from the fucking start, that is a plus to a promotion. If you go on fucking YouTube, well, you go on whatever, I don't even know how to make those fucking things because these people are talented. I'm not. I just talk shit. That's my talent, if you want to call it that. So people, they put together these compilation videos. They go through all sorts of different videos that are obviously copyrighted by CZW. But a lot of times, like, you'll see a guy booked on a card. You're like, who the fuck is that? You go on YouTube, search the name. All of a sudden, there's this video, and you're like, oh, shit, look at this fucking guy. Next thing you know, you're more interested in the card. You're more interested in the ticket. You're more interested in the DVD, something. It all makes sense. It all comes around and shit. So that's – Jesus messaged me. I can't type and talk, so I gotta hit you up in a minute, Jeez. So. That's that. Yeah, but okay. They shut down fucking YouTube links because people were using CZW footage on fucking YouTube to fucking promote CZW on how awesome shit was. It wasn't even Botchamania, and they fucked with Botchamania too. But it wasn't even Botchamania. It was motherfuckers putting up the best shit and be like, check this out. This fucking guy is off the hook. Look at this shit. Look at that shit. I mean, all that. This motherfucker started out the gay porn with fucking highlight reel. So, Alex Colon, didn't know, you know, I don't know if you know, but you're in a gay porn, bro. Fucking Adam Cole, I don't know if you know, but you're in a gay porn, bro. You're in a highlight reel before dudes start fucking. That's what happens. So maybe that's okay. And they actually put the logo and the fucking website and the whole shit up. So I don't know if this shit was sponsored by CZW or whatever the fuck goes on, but either way, might be some fact-checking somebody wants to fucking do around there, because that's some fucked-up shit as far as I'm concerned. That's not the way to promote a fucking company. You got fans putting in their fucking time and work and making fucking highlight videos so people give a fuck about your wrestlers, and you ban their motherfucking accounts. You put a commercial before the motherfucking gay porn? If y'all are actually down with that shit, then y'all motherfuckers are retarded. I'll tell you straight the fuck off the jump. Like, and if you're not down with it, then maybe a motherfucker shouldn't be booked anymore. And I'm not trying to take work away from the motherfucker for no reason or nothing like that, but that's some unprofessional shit. Like, first off, let's talk straight porn. When the fuck have you ever seen a straight porn where a chick did like a fucking 5-minute gymnastic fucking highlight video before she started getting fucked? like, oh wow, she does a great handspring into a double fucking backflip. Now let's see what she do in the bed. That shit don't even make sense for the fucking porno, let alone a motherfucking wrestling company. So what is the purpose of that other than burying your other fucking job? Just like showing your shit, walking into your fucking office where you work at, be like, here he go during the week. All right, now here he goes sucking a dick. Like, what the fuck kind of shit is that? Like, who fucking does any of that? I don't understand no part of that shit. So okay, here's the next part. And let me also preface, anybody who doesn't get this shit, anybody who doesn't understand, like, the show that I'm playing this shit from, they get thousands upon thousands upon thousands of listeners. And rightfully so, because they're fucking entertaining. I only get a handful of listeners, and I danced around the fucking topic to try to be nice. There was another show out there with thousands upon thousands of listeners that did what the fuck they wanted to do. Do you think this shit ain't gonna go fucking public? It's fucking public, dog. So, all right. Here's the next clip. This is a long one. It's like 5 minutes. And check this out. It's fucking hilarious. Candy had to go, man.
Oh, he did find a this is not right. We found the video. You want to play it?
Yeah, well, I already saw the clips of it. I saw that.
Oh, did you?
Of course I did. If somebody... fucking, of course I'd see this shit. Oh.
All right.
You know why? Because it doesn't matter. If it's not something that turns you on, then it's just dicks.
That's hilarious. I'm gonna keep on holding down, I'm holding ground, and I'm holding mine. I'm gonna keep on rising up, but I keep on fighting. Please tell me that's what it sounds like.
No, I think I saw the video. They show a highlight reel of the kid.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a highlight reel of him in CZW right now.
And then it's him getting blown by another man.
Jesus.
Hell, hell no! Navy blue showing its strength!
The shit!
Alright, let me fast forward this.
Grabbing those titties, man.
Stroked by a tranny. Oh, it's titties. No, it's a girl. Is it a girl?
Yes, it is a girl.
I thought it was a guy.
Yeah, they did one of those gay for pay things where it's like a straight guy gets lured and they gets forced into fucking a guy or something. It's one of those goddamn porn things that they do.
Well, he's butt naked. He's got this black chick stroking him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like all butt naked and shit.
Yeah.
You sucking on a titty?
Titties. Yeah, so far everything's going swimmingly for the heterosexual audience. Yeah.
So far everything's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not
hetero.
Trying to say it's abnormal.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's eating more titties. Now he's now they gave him a blindfold. No, sir. That is the mistake. You never put on a blindfold while filming porn.
No.
Oh my God. What is wrong with you, sir?
No, why would you do that?
He's got his arms out in the form of a cross.
Get rid of this extra person. Right. And then I'm gonna give you some rules on what to
mm-hmm.
go now.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's leaving.
No, keep your blindfold on.
Oh, okay.
And so what's going to happen now is that she's going to come out and start giving you head and stuff, but you can't touch her or anything like that.
Okay.
Okay, she don't like to be touched, and then you may wind up sticking her too without touching her.
Okay.
Oh, dude. Oh, that ain't right.
Move your one hand so you don't touch her. Yeah,
that's right.
Kind of put your hands behind. Yeah. There you go.
Now some dude is just blowing him, and he's wearing one of those, like, cooking nets on his head or something. Jesus Christ. So he isn't even really gay. He was just tricked into being gay.
Oh, yeah, because clearly he had no idea.
Well, you think he did or no?
Oh, come on.
Hey, I watch wrestling, okay? Am I not allowed to believe?
He's still straight to me, damn it.
Oh, this poor fuck, yeah. He's getting blown and continuing to get blown.
Right there.
Jesus, all right. Let's fast forward. Let's see if...
Dude,
wait, we got dialogue. Hold on a minute.
Dialogue?
Back to dialogue.
Yeah, now he's fucking this dude in the ass. How do you not notice the balls, dude? Come on. There's a fucking ball bag right there. You're fucking a dude in the ass, and you don't notice a ball bag and a giant penis? Fuck out of here. What's bullshit?
Well, that's because he knows he's fucking a man in the butt.
And you don't realize he's got hairy-ass legs? Come on. Jesus Christ. Goofy motherfucker. Yeah, and that sounds like a girl.
What the fuck?
I got shit on my dick.
Oh, man.
You're fucking a man.
Dude, damn, Candy had to go, man. No, she had to go, though.
That is a new sound clip. Candy had to go, man.
She had to go, bro.
Yeah, so you fucked this guy in the butt instead.
Candy had to go, man.
Candy had to go, man.
We're
going
to
put some money in your pocket, man. this is kind of, bizarre. We'll put some money in your pocket, man, and, go ahead and stick him, man.
Nah, man, I ain't doing that.
Yeah, Candy had to go.
Come on, bro.
Hey, thanks, bro.
Thanks, bro. I'm sorry. If that was legit, I'm sure he would have freaked the fuck out a lot more. Just saying.
Candy
had to go, man.
We'll give you the money, and you'll get to fuck her afterwards.
Oh, so you can fuck this dude, and then you get to fuck Candy afterwards? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that works out.
We're going to have her come back in, and you can take care of her.
Oh, that's all right, man.
Right?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, so there's part one of that clip. Tell me what part of that doesn't make this motherfucker look like a joke. Like a complete fucking joke. Like he's working for a company, and then he's putting himself out there like that. And honestly, you know, him wrestling Adam Cole and him wrestling fucking, dudes in CZW and putting the highlight shit up and shit like that. That was not that long ago. It's not like, hey, that was a while ago. You know, that shit don't. I mean, but this is what I'm saying. Like, this is the shit that was put out, and a show that people who don't know who the fuck AR Fox is know what the fuck AR Fox did. So that's what it is. And you can feel how you want to about it, and I'm playing this audio, and I know a lot of people are probably like, oh, this is fucking disgusting and everything like that, but this is what it is. This is the fucking truth about the matter. So you're using the footage, you're doing all this crazy shit, you're running little fucking angles in there and all that, and meanwhile, the people who are trying to still give you press and treat you like a fucking, you know, like a respectable dude, you don't even fucking acknowledge and shit. You know, send a message through fucking Brett Lauderdale, because that'll get the fucking point across. Okay, now the final part of this, you know, is almost 5 minutes as well, but you're going to get the final gist of why I'm mad, and then you'll get it.
Candy had to go get a bowl of soup. This is the most relevant show on the internet, by the way, involving wrestling.
CZW, baby. AR Fox. Good luck with
that. Surprise. Surprise.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Oh. Now he's enthusiastic.
Yeah, now he's fucking railing on this poor motherfucker. I almost feel bad for Candy's replacement over here.
Doggy style.
Mandy. That would be his name. Get it? Because he's a man?
Mandy.
Huh. I like how people are disgusted in the chat room as if, like, this is anything different than what we'd ever do.
Welcome to Wrestling Soup, assholes.
Yeah, fuck you.
Jesus Christ.
Idiots. This is our type of humor.
All right, I want to see if Candy jumps in there. I'm not saying doggy style. All right, then I'm back to missionary.
Candy had to go.
No, let's see if Candy comes back. This isn't funny. This is just gross. This is queer. Is it?
It's not gross to gay people.
Gay people got off this shit, guy. Oh, he's crying. Oh, come on. You're willingly getting fucked in the ass and you're crying. What's the matter with you?
Wait, why isn't the supposedly straight guy crying? Doesn't that make more sense? Tears of joy.
Tears of joy. Oh, Jesus. And we got sauce. Fantastic.
There we go. There's
sauce.
Most... And this is, and ladies and gentlemen, this is a guy who's doing pretty well for himself.
And you know what the funny thing is he doesn't even get finished off by the dude. He has to do it himself.
Oh, that's
depressing.
That's rude.
That's very rude.
Man.
So we'll bring Candy back in for you later on.
Hey, Candy, how's it going?
I have that money for you. All right.
What a deal.
Sorry we played that on you, man. You took it out on him. You took your frustrations out on him. You know, but it's all good.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'd be coughing too.
Blood.
Yeah. So that poor guy. I like how.
Fantastic.
I like how somebody in the chat room says, "Get back to wrestling." When have we ever talked about wrestling? Really? Come on, shut up.
Mr. Kleiman would prefer if we could add Kelly to the conversation, or add Kelly to the conversation, since we're talking about porn stars. Oof.
No. That's kind of, you know, I don't know why the hell that kid did it. I don't know what the hell is going through his head there. And shout out
to...
Oh,
I have an idea.
Oh, by the way, please send that to JCat. Because I saw this and then talked to JCat about it because he's basically our CZW correspondent.
Also, we should put it on his page.
put it on his page and put a quote on it that says, "Yeah, I know your wife is around, but
yeah, this is gay, sir.
I know you'd enjoy this, so, you know." She's out of the room. Now you can watch this gay porn.
No, our friend from Yakuza Kick Radio over there on Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
Feel free to put it on this page.
Yeah, I know that.
So we have
poor Jay. Just send it to him in a private message.
Yeah, private,
he was saying to me that he was like, I never even heard of this. I guess he had A.R. Fox on his show tonight.
Oh. Oh, did he really?
Yeah, and Jay was like, he didn't know if he believed it. He's like, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's real, blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, I wouldn't pick on the guy about it. I wouldn't hold it against him. If he's gay, then he's gay, then whatever.
Right.
But to me, I just think he's a dumbass because why the fuck would you... why? Don't you want to make it in a whole very homophobic business? whatever. Why would you do that? You need to make... I get you need to make money, but you know, right. Do it after your career.
We should talk about women because we have people flipping out.
Oh, fuck them. Fuck themselves.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about. Wrestling Soup doing what Wrestling Soup does, and they fucking rock that shit. They made that shit hilarious. I've been fucking saying Candy had to go all fucking week and laughing my ass off at this dude's fucking life. And the fact of the matter is there's nothing, not even a small percentage of anything that they did wrong. They do what they do. What the problem is I wouldn't have been mentioned anywhere within the context of a fucking gay porn if I didn't decide to go to bat for this dude and give him an honest interview amongst all of the stuff that he's doing, amongst everything that's going on. Now, if I went out there, if I went out there and I did the fucking interview with dude, I'd be like, yeah, all right, well, yeah, I had him on. Well, not only did I get directly linked to the gay porn and like, yeah, he's still hanging out with him. Well, the dude no-shows me. The dude doesn't give me a fucking acknowledgement of, hey, my bad. Hey, you know, hey, Jesus Christ. I mean, Ian Rotten beat people on pay with more courtesy than this fucking guy did on a fucking interview. Like, he at least told you, get you next time, kid. Even if he didn't get him next time, he told him he would. You know what I mean? Like, that type of courtesy to just bullshit one fucking sentence, a half a sentence, my bad, that shit would have worked for me. And again, I still find what he fucking did is deplorable, fucking putting CZW footage on a fucking gay porn like that sells videos on a fucking porno. I still am really not comprehending the fucking logic of that. So, you know, it is what it is. I expect the dude to lose a shitload of work. You know, just the way he went about everything. you know, and now he's being completely sheepish, and, you know, he's just doing this like nobody's going to bring it up. I mean, honestly, I think a Candy Had to Go chant in a CZW show would be fucking unbelievable. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, and you know, I've said a lot of things that are pretty, pretty aggressive, but I don't really give a fuck. As bottom line is he did this. Nah, I didn't do shit. I just spoke on it. I was the guy to actually try to, like, still treat you like a fucking normal person, other than, you know, again, you know, go put a fucking compilation on your normal job. If everybody who did gay porn immediately put a compilation of their normal job prefacing said gay porn, they would lose their normal job shortly after. But this is completely acceptable. Other people's YouTube accounts got fucking flagged. I got fucking attached to the thing because I tried to fucking help dude out, you know, and give the dude some kind of respect, and he completely fucking disrespected me. So he can go fuck himself. And, I mean, the very most that he can do out of anything that I've said is fucking come after me. And, oh boy, fucking the wrestler that did a gay porn now attacked the fan. Like, oh, that would look awesome. I would love for that to happen. So, it's whatever, man. Honestly, I don't really give a shit. You know, I'm moving on, but I definitely had to speak my mind because I fucking tiptoed around it out of quote-unquote respect, while another show did exactly what the fuck I should have did from the start, is clown this fucking dude for doing stupid shit. I didn't have enough info about it. They actually enlightened me on a lot of it. And fucking, in great fucking, you heard it. I mean, it great fucking form. They, Yeah, that's not the type of... So, everybody knows about this shit. It's ridiculous. Like, there's some of the small, you know, group of people that listen to my show that didn't know what went on. But like I said, thousands upon thousands of people listen to The Wrestling Soup, and rightfully so. They didn't even know who the fuck this guy was, and now they know he fucks dudes. You know, and they all know that Candy Had to Go, man. So, it is what it is. A lot of fun. I'm all good with it. Fuck them. So, I'm going to take a break, come back, you know, hit some other little indie topics and all of that stuff. You know, why not? Where the fuck are my, I have such a phenomenal soundboard. It's just like a fucking 8-mile fucking list of things that you could possibly play. I'm like, oh, well, this is good. All right. Here you go. Take this drive.
Ooh. Attach me. What do we have here? Caught up in the center of the square. Every corner locked down. Four corners. Take position. Four soldiers. Everywhere you turn is one boy. When we born was square, rock and rock representatives, your worst nightmare. Yo, when push came to shove, then I push and shove. Plugged in a nigga mug when you show us no love.
Check, sounds around the pound MCs. Tap to me, get schooled and free. As in the triple bar, my troops get bit by far. Supreme, lead through your team and lead scars. We form and squid, now there's nowhere to turn to. Burn through fools with troops, that's not junk. Right in my journey, my first mission. Getting on these faggot MCs, this industry's in submission.
Yo, who's a square? They're square with the backbender. I beat blood out of your number one contender. The representatives are sent to get drama. While I sneak up behind you, then put space in your back like a comma. Time to do battle. Escape how? Trapped in four corners. Plus the walls are closing in on you. Like that karate instructor from that Bar Simpson commercial, I hurt you. By dropping bombs, guard you know.
Niggas be acting sweet like ladies. And if they try and play me, Little Rock will come through and wreck your block like the Navy. Disclaimer, all point guard, the square key. Label me as a nigga who smoked a Grim Reaper. Undercover like a champion wearing sneakers. Greet ya with a boot to your face and see ya. All part of the range, beware of my terrain. Four levels of pain, you got caught, so who's to blame?
Man, the battle station,
as I plan to rattle a nation. Rock little rock and supreme the team you be facing. My mind's placed in between the rock and the hard place. But the guard safe rocks, my man the hard place, the yard game. We triple R, cripple y'all, get your crutches. Barking duchess, rocking my dome, causing ruckus. Who give a fuck if your knife shit get mangled and mashed? Like those fiends dying off a tango and cash.
We be triple R rated, but we form a square. Rock and rock representatives, your worst nightmare. Yo, we push in the hell, then I push and shove. Plug in the nigga mug when you show us no love.
We be triple R rated, but we form a square. And transform like these steps into what you've been shaping here. Anyone that tests it, I done roll with the best bitch that swam with the sharks against fools that made me restless. I bet this, hearing the G.U. blow, the vicinity in black. Motherfuckers who approach me like the enemy. I'm simply holding my angle down jack. So if your self-defense is more than I suggest you attack.
Hey, yo, we equal MC. Square dead, tent me. Empty shells, now you're laying with players and pimps me. On microphones with hypertones. That's when I swipe your phones with sniping chrome. See, I'm all rated. Paul hated when I made it. In your rap game, cause your pain's been invaded. I laced it like sneakers and funny cigarettes. Niggas get wet from slow, they ass couldn't figure.
Make way for the bum rush, niggas get touched. You think you're tough bringing the drama if you're fool rough. What for motherfuckers up in your visual? Deliver blows to foes in my periphery. My ill subliminal attack, petty individuals. Tired of cliches, these days don't come original. Late criminal, and you get lost in such. That's my triple R rated, they get crushed to dust.
Yo, we blew through the door, I said it before. You act for it, who want people in war? We do a C-square, equal four rated, triple R. If you pretty boy, play your guard up the card. When will you piranhas learn? Fighting my click, shit like Larry, you bitch firm. Here in the square with your energy, you rather wanna be caught in a lion's den with pork chop drawers in the front of me.
Triple R rated, but we form a square. Rock and rock representatives, your worst nightmare. Yo, we push in the shelf, then I push and shove. Plugged in a nigga mug when you show us no love. We be triple R rated, but we form a square. Rock and rock representatives, your worst nightmare. Yo, we push in the shelf, then I push and shove. Plugged in a nigga mug when you show us no love.
So I'm back. I did a horrible job of watching Raw this week. Before that, I'm getting all of this Hogan porn and all of this stuff messages, and you know, let's the Hogan has no future to fuck up. The guy was fucking at the Fork of River House, 2 minutes from my house, fucking yesterday. He was charging $100. For a fucking 8x10 autograph and $160 for a fucking photo op. And I stayed home. I don't fucking care. I mean, who gives a fuck? I mean, Hogan could be banging his dog. Like, Hogan could be banging that vegetable that his son fucking turned into a vegetable and nobody would give a shit. I don't think they would get too many hits on that. So, unless it didn't cost anything, then yeah, why not, for fun, I guess, but not with any good thoughts in mind. Anyway, Raw, I did a horrible job at watching this week. I thought the Cena Brock shit was pretty cool. Brock fucking yoking up fucking Josh Matthews backstage, I thought that was cool. I thought that was actually a good, I thought that was a good segment right there. Got mixed reviews on the contract signing thing down the end. I thought it was cool. I like the Brock, like, not just being Laurinaitis's bitch. I like him being, like, a guy who's coming in and trying to take over. I don't think that's a bad role. I don't. He's going to go in, he's just going to destroy people, recklessly bust people's mouth open, apparently, you know, occasionally, and that's fine with me. I'm all about it. But, you know, that type of thing is just, he's an asshole. He's a legit asshole. So the best thing you can get, an arrogant asshole, the best thing you can get for him to play is an arrogant asshole. So if he's sitting at the fucking table making demands and punching Cena in the mouth legit, then, well, I think we've accomplished what Brock Lesnar wants to do for the rest of his life. I mean, it works. It works. Many smart marks and all that are already sold on that fact that Brock is what Brock is. However, what do you expect? You want to just play him heel and have him like a trained animal to John Laurinaitis? No, I don't. I really don't. So it's cool. He's making demands and this and that. And I think the way that they're going to go is going to end up where Laurinaitis kind of turns and ends up asking Cena to fucking help him get rid of Brock. You know, help him, you know, tone him down. Or he's going to end up looking for the help of someone else because Brock's ego and Brock's push and Brock's whatever is going to get out of control where he's demanding too much. And now he can't do anymore and fucking he's scared of him. And now he's actually calling for Cena's help. It's going to go with some shit like that, I think. I mean, it's just an opinion. I thought Kofi versus Jericho was good. I thought that was a good match. Really refreshing to see him in there, you know, a fast-moving dude. And, you know, of course, Punk's phenomenal. But, I mean, just generally, like, he didn't work a whole lot. They danced around the whole topic until he finally, you know, ended up wrestling Punk. But, yeah, I thought Kofi Jericho was a pretty good joint. Truth got fucking buried. I love the Lord Tensei thing. A lot of people hate it. A lot aren't giving it any bit of a chance. But I fucking love it. I love a big fucking crusher dude who legitimately fucking took shit over in Japan. I wouldn't even say took over, but I would say meshed well with everything in Japan, worked some guys who were legit, no fucking joke badasses, and then he comes back here years later after just running through the fucking mill of badasses in Japan, and then all of a sudden people are like, now, he's still a hip-hop hippo to me. Like, what the fuck is your problem? You know, he wasn't that big of a deal when he was with Test. Like, shut the fuck up. How many years does someone have to put in a different territory that you don't watch before you go, hey, I don't know what he was doing over there. It might have been really good, so this is a new look at him. They're just like, I don't know. He was nothing better than mid-card 10 years ago. Like, so that's fucking fantastic, but that was also a decade ago, and there's a lot of different things that were happening a decade ago. You know, let's list off the people who weren't fucking dead 10 years ago. Hey, come on, man. Come on. Hey, give him a fucking chance. Allow him to be the fucking crusher they're trying to make him. What is he really doing wrong? It's just, it's fucked up. I think it's okay. I like it. I don't like, you know, them burying Truth. I think Truth's a fucking good dude, you know, to keep around. I think he's got tremendous personality, and his, you know, his ring work's always been solid. So I don't particularly like them burying Truth. And I don't understand the whole, you know, putting color into it to make a mark on Truth, because you're not making any color marks on Truth. But, you know, it's whatever. Bella winning the title. A lot of different opinions on this and everything else. I don't fucking like it. They're horrible. The fact that there's two of them is the only reason they have a job, because they do the whole little twin magic switch out thing. Otherwise, it would be one mediocre worker that wouldn't get fucking booked past a year. 6 months. 6 months tops, and she would have fucking fell right out of the fucking ranks and been back in Florida Championship until they took every bit of her training money, and then she fucking, you know, went home. I don't think that they would be here if it were just one of them, but it's whatever. I heard they're going to get released. They're not going to get released. I personally don't give a shit one way or another. So that's that. The Punk drunk test fucking, these writers are retarded. I can't stomach that shit. It's stupid as fuck. Fuck them. And I'm not dealing with it. It's dumb. Tap out said on the air too, you know, and I've had probably five guests that brought up, yeah, remember that Raven angle? Like, yeah, it's it's so redone and overdone that I don't know what the fuck you're supposed to do. What are you supposed to turn into that's actually enjoyable and credible as an actual fucking angle or something? I have no idea. I can't turn that into something that I find entertaining. I just can't. It's fucking impossible. I know I find crazy. Okay, because I'm done with that. They're banning him because you can't drink. Mish is telling in the chat. You can't drink within so many hours of working. Yeah, because Stone Cold never drank on the job. Via missionary. The dude. In the middle of the ring, every fucking time he fucking came out, won a match, fucking cut a promo, anything. It was like at least 6 beers poured on his face and chest. So, come on. It's retarded. So, CZW is running a show on May 12th. So is Dragon Gate. So, fantastic. So, Sammy Callahan will not be in CZW. He'll be in North Carolina that night, which is a really great idea for CZW. The gay porn superstar will also be booked in Dragon Gate that weekend. Candy's friend will be booked over there. Like, all of that shit, like, they have a hard time right now. Like, okay, they got Danny Havoc versus Drew Gulak, no rope barbed wire. Oh, that's, definitely draws me a little bit of tension that way. But what else you got? That's it. Like, your stars are little by little being signed everywhere else that holds a fucking show or an iPay-per-view or something like that. And, all right. So you're running an iPay-per-view with what stars? I'm having a hard time with this. Are we going to get DJ versus somebody? I'm really fucking excited. I did. I don't get it. I really don't understand where they're going with that. It's kind of crazy. I actually watched like a little bit of this UFC product. I'm not a UFC fan, but I watched a little bit of that. I think that John Jones dude is the fucking truth. I think he's awesome. And then I posted that shit, and I got hate from my friend Brent Maddie over there that listens to the show regularly. And he's telling me the only reason this guy is any good at all is because he has reach. And I'm like, well, I think every center in the NBA would be dominating the fucking mixed martial arts fucking league if that was the truth. I think Shaq would be a 5-time champion. But he's saying no, because he's like 6'3", and he's got the longest reach in the world. And this is it. I don't know, man. I think that Rashard Evans dude is a badass dude. Great grappler, all of that nonsense, and then John Jones just kept him at bay and just fucking dropped elbows and occasional knees, and he's a super athletic dude. I think he's hugely talented. I guess is under the belief that he's in the wrong weight class and he should be amongst the heavyweight weight class. I mean, if what you're looking for is to just get his ass handed to him, then I put him wherever you want, but I don't know. I only tuned in and watched it. I spent so much money watching that. But when I watched it, I was just like, all right. It seems like he did what he did. And it wasn't anything, groundbreaking or anything like that. But I was like, all right. That works. The other thing I'm wondering, too, is because CZW is working in Indy. I think this coming weekend or whatever. I don't even know what day it is, for Christ's sakes. They're doing May 5th, and that's Cinco de Mayo in Indiana, and they're doing that thing. Let me see. Jesus Christ, I'm horrible at this. I just pulled up like the wrong thing, and now. Okay, yeah. So they're doing Cinco de Mayo over in. I look for that. They also booked Steve Corino for this Saturday or whatever the fuck in Delaware against DJ Hyde, which is probably my least favorite ECW talent ever. Like, I fucking hate Steve Corino's work other than like his series of matches with Homicide. He's one of the most boring motherfuckers I've ever seen in my life. So, contrary to most people's beliefs, I think he's horrible. Well, anyway, they're doing the Cinco de Mayo thing. I'm talking May 5th. And, wow, I don't understand this. What? Well, they fucked this up. Oh, wait, no. Okay, no. I got it. They're doing, like, a doubleheader. So they're doing Infinity Pro, and they're doing Michael Elgin versus Sami Callihan. I think that's the only thing notable. Then on the night show, they're doing Masada versus Michael Elgin. They're doing 2 out of 3 falls, Ultraviolent Rules, Sami Callihan versus Drake Younger. They're doing Dave Chris versus Greg Excellent. Jake Chris versus Adam Cole. AR Fox versus Alex Colon. It's good because they were both in the same gay porn, so they'll probably get along quite well in that. And then Mia Yim versus Kimberly. So they're doing that, and Sammy's not going to be at the 12th show, so maybe they'll flip the title on that. Drake will be there defending the title. I don't know what goes on, but I know that they got a real lack of fucking talent on that 12th show as far as I'm concerned. Got one match signed up and a bunch of other talent already signed up for other companies. So what can you do? Speculate. That's what I can do. I am so all over the place. The fucking Saints. Now they're getting fucking hit up for New Orleans Saints are getting hit up for eavesdropping. I mean, these cunts were putting out bounties and trying to take out our fucking players, and we still beat them in the fucking playoffs. Now all of a sudden they got mic'd. They're all mic'd up in the fucking stadium. This is ridiculous. These motherfuckers should be erased from the league. That fucking levy should have took out that motherfucking... No, I don't know, man. It's a whole corrupt thing, and I don't know how to feel about that, but it's just like more and more is coming about. A team that... I don't know. You know? It's just... More and more is coming out about a team who didn't even win the whole shit. So it's amazing that they somehow fucking still don't pull it together, and then they still have like, okay, that guy's fired, this guy's banned, this guy's fucking suspended, that guy's got a fine, oh, we're looking into your fucking owner, the FBI's part of fucking the investigation, like, holy shit, you guys suck. You guys are such a huge bag of douche. You might as well just get, like, Wade Wilson back at quarterback because Drew Brees needs to be somewhere where there's not all that fucking drama. That would just be my, you know, just overall. But, listen, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Yeah, I was almost done. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They ran show this past weekend, DDT. DDT 4 at that. Originally, it was supposed to be Sammy and Roderick Strong versus Super Dragon and Chaz Bono and Kevin Steen for the laymen. Well, Super Dragon, apparently, his heel couldn't support his weight that he's at right now, so he crushed his heel somehow, probably getting a soda, and... So, they got pulled out of that. Then they were replaced by 2 husky black guys, which was comprised of El Generico and Willie Mack, which is fucking awesome. Oh, fucking awesome. So, they ended up going over, beating Strong and Callahan, and, Chaz Bono being without an opponent that night. It's like, well, I got an open challenge, and Sammy's like, I didn't fucking come here I ain't come here to fucking lose to fucking such and such. I'll fucking accept your challenge. So So I was just like, all right, then. I guess that's what fucking happens. And Sami Callihan ended up going up for the PWG fucking world title. I say, why not? You know, I thought that was probably a really good fucking move. The Super Smash Brothers, I'm not going to go down the whole card that I didn't watch, but the Super Smash Brothers won the whole thing. Young Bucks went out in the first round, and you know, I don't see why not. I don't see why not. Super Smash Brothers have been pretty good for you know, a lot of years, and yeah, they've been doing their thing, you know, from Canada and everything, tearing it up. But yeah, a surprise to a lot of people that they actually went in and won the tournament. I don't really have a lot of problem with that. I haven't seen a lot of their recent work, but I saw some of their past work. Stupefied is really fucking good as a high flyer. But, yeah, I mean, Player Uno is, you know, good comedy gimmick, that whole thing-wise. You know, they end up winning the whole joint. I have no problem with it. They generally run just fucking super cards. You watch those PWG shows, and from top to bottom, it's fucking insane. Another point of news, Drake Younger is going to be moving at the, you know, end of the year. And, end of the year, no, end of the summer. And just go ahead and make your speculations on what that's going to mean for Drake Younger's title possibilities and different pushes and stuff like that. What might actually go on with him right now? Like I said, I would not be surprised to see Sammy drop the title in Indianapolis, and then Sammy being booked elsewhere. Maybe Drake's the flagship junior heavyweight guy on, you know, May 12th. But yeah, if anyone wants to give a call in, number is 347-215-8300. Other, you know, I'll bullshit for another minute or so. If I don't get any calls, I'll, you know, close out the show, no problem. So yeah, I mean, it's that's what's happening. I'm getting a message from my man saying he's on, but I can't see how. I see no number. I'm, you know, normally I blame it on myself, but I see no number popping up here. So if there was a number popping up there, I would gladly take it. But I haven't seen it. Let me see. Yeah, it boggles me. And then that fucking upsets me highly. Especially, you know, my dude who's trying to call in couldn't get through. How many times did that fucking happen in the history of my fucking show? Jesus fucking Christ. That's, appalling, I would say. That's, 347-215-8300. Ah, man. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Where the fuck am I? I have no idea. I can't even find fucking sound drops. Ah, there we go.
Jesus!
Oh, man. Well, I'm hoping dude's going to call back. I should be able to get him online. I honestly haven't had any problems in the past. Oh, fuck. He's on, he says. I fucking hate Blog Talk Radio. I wish you cunts could fucking hear what I'm saying and fix your fucking problems, or maybe give me a discount on what I'm paying you motherfuckers, but apparently not. I have no ability to fucking make this happen any other way. Hey Mish, give me your number and I'll have it somewhere. But give me your number. I'll try to call you from this shitbag. There we go. You fucking cunts. See, and I wouldn't say I'm going out of my way to defend this fucking shitbag fucking service, but I do, however, say, you know, it's not as bad as some people. And what, you know, what do I get? I get this. So, let's see. It's dialing. It said the call was failed or not answered. That's fantastic. It's failed like my fucking attempt at Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Maybe I'll try without spaces. Oh, this is clearly the end of a show, and you're really fucking going through the technical aspect of trying to make fucking something work like a phone call. Oh, you just, there's no way to make that shit sound good. Oh, wait, I'm hearing a dial.
Hello? Hey.
Hey, you're on the shittiest service ever.
How's it going, J-Cat?
Pretty good, man, I guess. So
oh,
what's up, man?
Blog Talk Radio, fuck the world.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I've been listening for the last 20 minutes, 30 minutes on hold. I'm thinking, all right, you know, I'll wait for you, him to be done. I'll give him a pause.
I'm glad to put you on. I'm spinning plates with no balance over here, and yeah, people are waiting on hold. It's fantastic.
Has it got worse, man?
What,
you know that there's
talk?
A new service. Yeah, yeah.
Well, apparently so. If I have people on hold that I'm not aware of, unless they're
there's
telling me the
service.
Chat.
Somebody actually gave me the link to it, but I haven't checked it out yet. But you can do exactly what you do from Blog Talk. It's just a phone call, and it automatically records, and it's live. I don't know if it gives you a chat room. I think it's just a stream service. But it's pretty much everything that Blog Talk gives you in much better quality format through your phone, but you just got to get your own chat room. That's it.
Uh-huh.
And you don't pay for it.
Get the fuck out of here. Is there a limit the time you record and all of that stuff? Or?
No, zero. You record whenever the hell you want to. I took a look at it. It's like a splitting image of Ustream, except it uses a phone. Like what we use, you know? I mean, technically, am I supposed to be paying for Ustream? Of course. Am I? Hell no.
That's great, because I pay these chunks $100 a month for fucking everybody to tell me how I have the shittiest service in the fucking world. So, and I would kind of bad for that.
Good. I feel bad, too, because I think you definitely need to be heard by more fucking people, man.
I sure fucking would agree with that, for Christ's sakes.
No, stop listening to my show. Stop.
Yeah, it's like they're fucking helping me fucking fail.
You got to tell me, what is the backlash from this AR Fox thing? I mean, like, look, I know what it was from, you know, our listeners and shit like that, but I'm kind of curious from the CZW fans and from the CZW wrestlers. Like, I'm just kind of curious more so what the inside field track is about this whole thing.
Well, I mean, concerning what? Like, what do you mean? Like, because everybody's pretty much acting like it didn't happen, and that's the funny part.
See, that's what I wanted to know. Like, are they acting like it happened, or are they all of a sudden like, oh, Jesus Christ?
No,
this all
no,
this
it's like non-acknowledgement.
Huh.
Is it, Brett Lauderdale, he's a ref for CZW. He's one of their referees. He's been on the show and everything else, and, hey, what's up with him and all of that stuff, and, you know, been pretty cool conversation with him. But leading into the show, it was probably less than an hour left before I was going to go on air. Fox was going to come on at 10 o'clock. All of a sudden, I get an IM from Brett Lauderdale.
Right.
Hey, you're going to have Fox on tonight. And this is a guy who drives Fox to wherever he's going to go. Like, he's not only a ref, he's also a cab driver. And for wrestlers only. So, you know, he does this. And, you know, he's like, hey, so you're going to have Fox on tonight? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you're not going to ask him about the video, are you? I said, well, first off, I run my interviews the way I want to. Second off, I wasn't going to spotlight the video. And honestly, I wasn't. And I fucking danced around it, even with him no-showing me, which was a stupid, you know, idea on my side. But I was trying to be cool. So he's like, oh, because you might want to clear that with him. I don't think he wants to talk about it. I just kind of laughed to myself and didn't hit him back. It was just like, all right then. Because, I mean, you don't want to talk about it. Indie wrestling fans are probably the most vocal about anything going on. Like, you could have a shred of pink on you and they're going to call you a faggot for 15 minutes in the ring.
Right.
I don't think the gay porn is going to slip by you not talking about it. But, okay. I was being nice, and now you're checking me on this shit, and I'm like, all right. that works
wild.
For you. So, yeah,
it's,
man.
It's kind of goofy. I mean, Joey said it best last week, obviously, you know. Aren't you afraid of the backlash of being in such a homophobic business? And, I mean, obviously Joey knows he's been fucking wrestling on the Upper East Coast for years and or roughing and everything, you know. And it's just kind of looking at it, it's just like, yeah, that is a really, like, look, there is zero things wrong with being gay. You want to be gay, that's fine. But
no,
it doesn't matter if you're male or women or female or anything else. Making the porn, whew, that did wonders for China's career.
Oh, yeah. And like I said to you earlier, how many wrestlers or how many straight porn actors do you know that put on like a highlight show on their regular job?
Right.
Before
right.
the porn. Okay, she's about to get banged, but she's a hell of a receptionist. Look at her go.
She can organize the paper. She knows how to do sex.
Oh, man.
Oh.
It's just brutal.
It is. It's just goofy. I was just kind of curious, like I said, from the backlash show, you know, because I don't know. I figured the CZW fan base, especially with this brutal of fans as they are. I mean, shit, you know, you get your hardcore Philly fans, everything else like that.
Yeah.
Especially CZW. It's kind of like you'd expect them to rip him apart, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, I think really as many people have heard about it, I don't think that many CZW fans have actually heard about it. And it's now just really starting to hit the, you know, the forefront of people, like, actually getting the word out, like, hey, did you hear about this fucking shit? And then, honestly, them not being in Viking Hall or New Alhambra or whatever you want to call it, I think is a big difference, too. Like, he actually hasn't worked a show in front of that crowd. Like, there's a lot of guys who have attended for almost a decade, and they just can't get to these other venues. But
right.
Big difference, very, very big difference between, you know, that CZW, ECW Arena crowd, and Voorhees, New Jersey, where the Flyers practice, and because they've been running a couple shows there, and they ran some show in a gym in Philly where they were only able to have like three sides of the ring with crowd because it was so small of a space.
Oof.
It's fucking brutal. So, and the little Flyers joint in Jersey isn't bad. Really nice building. It's weird walking into a wrestling show where the door is open for you. But, you know, it's definitely
can
weird.
Would you like a hot towel?
Yeah, you walk by, you know, a rink where there's just kids, just middle school kids skating around to Britney Spears music, holding hands, and then you walk into CZW to the next door over. Fucking awkward. But
Lady Gaga playing in the background. People bleeding in the room next door. No, I got you.
I'm telling you. I walked directly out of a Danny Havoc versus Rory Mondo match with carpet strips. And there was a Britney Spears song playing when I walked out to intermission. And probably 200 fucking middle school kids skating around. I stopped and my jaw dropped. And I was like, this is fucking weird. So I don't know
what happened.
Yeah, I would say this works in AR Fox's favor. Let's put it that way.
It's just goofy. Like we were even joking about the whole thing. It had nothing to do with it. It was just really, really amateur. And like, look, there's like classy porn. Like you get your Playboy, highbrow, vivid
porn.
Money. Right. But, I mean, this is like...
I like to paint it that way, too.
A $5 hotel room.
Settle down, woman. This is classy porn.
Right. Classy porn. You got to light candles and open up some champagne. Ugh, yeah, you know. But I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I was just really curious, kind of like what the feeling is, because I mean I know you frequent the boards and shit like that. So,
honestly, I didn't even know about this new CZW board because they've always disliked me, mutual. But I didn't even know about this new CZW board until Joey fucking put me onto it, and I was like, oh, shit, oh, look at that. So I attend enough shows, and I have no idea about these people just talking shit. The majority of those boards, too, they don't even attend shows. They read results and go, that's fucking stupid. Like, all right, dude. Cool.
Right.
No, I mean,
majority of the time,
all.
They might hit a good point. But, you know.
That's your internet belief.
Of course. Yeah. Definitely happens. But, yeah, thanks again for the intro. And I know you're working on some other stuff and very much looking forward to it.
I definitely want to come up with something off of my skull and see what see what happens.
Like I said, I'd love a hybrid between this promo and the last, you know, intro and stuff like that, because I like the first one. And this one definitely has some sides that I fucking like quite a bit. But,
yeah,
I mean, I know you're capable of crazy shit, so have
at it. Yeah, just, you know what it is it's been really psychotically stressful on my end, you know. Like, here, I'll just drop a little bit of news, because, I mean, obviously people that are listening to you, you know, they know and stuff like that. But we just got accepted on Stitcher Radio, which means that it can be played in people's cars. People can listen to us while they're driving to work now. And you might really think about trying to see if you can get accepted with them, too. Just saying.
Really?
Because they go through a weird process. Like, they accepted us about 8 months ago, and my stupid ass never said, oh, okay, well, we'll just add us in there. And I never went through it. Like, they came and found us, which was really cool. But, I mean, just the fact that you're broadcast through satellite, hell yeah, dude.
That's awesome. And yeah, that is. I mean, I'm looking at a lot of different things. I get a lot of people telling me I need to get an app, and I'm like, this fucking app, dude. My phone is retarded, and I just got an iPad last week, so I don't know.
Oh yeah, how you like it?
Oh, it's fucking awesome. I could sit in the yard and be on the line. I mean,
I just got one of those droids, and I have no idea how to use it. I was playing with it the other day, and I had my number hooked up. But I was playing with it the other day, and yeah, when I hit you, I got to hit you back up on Facebook. You're going to have to text me again your number, because I lost all my contacts. Go figure, like a dumbass.
Okay. No problem.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out this droid thing. And it's like, I used to use this old beat-up BlackBerry, like this fucking generic rip-off of a BlackBerry. So all I had was just like a little screen and a keypad, and so I was used to typing everything through a keypad. I wasn't used to this whole "don't touch the screen" shit.
Crazy technology. Yeah, the phone I do the show on cost me, I think, $13. Like, this shit is not smart at all, and it just sounds good. It sounds okay. It comes across clear, and I've had like people who are like, "No, I just got this phone last week. It's great," and it sounds like they're in a tunnel. So, my last one broke. I got a new one. I was like, I just want the same $13 phone that I had last time. So, I made that happen. But, yeah, obviously, it's not the fucking way to go as far as audio sound. But, what can you do?
Cool. Hey, thanks for having me on, buddy.
Oh, it's not a problem, man. Before you go, I mean, is there anything you want to say about any of the WWE product this week? Because I really didn't have much to add, but... The Raw.
Yeah, there. You know, I was joking. Obviously, you caught that. I was joking in the chat room about the whole CM Punk drunk test. About, you know, WWE employees can't be drinking on the premises, and it's kind of like, yeah, because Stone Cold never drank in the ring. No, he was never drunk.
No.
Not one.
Other employees didn't throw him beers.
Oh yeah, right. It wasn't the ring boy. No, the camera.
No. Where did you get those from?
Lillian Garcia shooting out of... Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
No, the Brock Lesnar thing was... Oh, my God. I love Brock Lesnar. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be absolutely insane Sunday in Chicago. I got to say that. Brock Lesnar, Cena. Brock Lesnar is going to get an ovation like no other in Chicago, just because that's one of the big nutty cities when it comes to wrestling. And I'm not just, you know, kissing ass because it's my hometown, but Chicago's pretty nuts. So you're going to have Brock Lesnar in there. You're going to have CM Punk versus Jericho, which, regardless of who people like, it's going to be an awesome match. You know what I mean? And then you go down the line, and what else you got? You got Cody Rhodes and Big Show? Yeah. Santino for the pre-show, actually. Who is it? Santino and The Miz for the pre-show. Santino will. Oh my God, Santino will get a huge ovation. He'll get a CM
right.
Punk kind of ovation because they just love him because he's goofy, you know. I was thinking about being there. We're not exactly sure yet. Tickets, front row tickets, are so bad that it's already up in the WrestleMania prices. It's already like $1,500 for front row. So it's like $200 for nosebleeds. Right.
That's
tough. Yeah, from scalpers, man. You're not going to find a ticket unless you go through a scalper, and it's like 200 bones for a nosebleed. Yeah.
So you think
Brock's going to
crush Cena's orbital socket, or you think he's going to rein it in and make it a match?
You know, if they have Cena win, they're going to destroy any kind of merchandise, any kind of real build-up they can do with Brock. I mean, you can't have Brock lose. You can't have Brock come in and lose this fast. It would just, I mean, look, I know WWE makes no sense sometimes, but I'm really hoping that they understand that there's a reason why so many people are happy to see Brock. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, and there's another one too, Daniel Bryan. You got Daniel Bryan and Sheamus there. People are going to be doing yes chants like there's no tomorrow. You know, this is just, WWE right now, as silly as they've been, and I know a lot of the TNA fans hate WWE and stuff like that, but they really are on the cusp of doing something nice and special for the fans, because it's no longer you've got the internet fans and then you have
right.
the household fans, because everybody has the internet. Who doesn't have the internet anymore, Jay?
Yeah, I hear you. And who cares
right.
about what the TNA fans actually like or hate? I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous standpoint to judge your opinion by. Well, the TNA fans think, oh, that's cute.
It's hilarious. It's my one of my closest friends from, I'd say 18 years. He is a huge, huge TNA mark, and he only likes John Cena. He's 37 years old, and he
Do
lives
you ever
at home
punch
with him
for fun.
Every single time, man.
Where you're like, hey, buddy, love you, but catch this.
Like, you know, it'd be one thing if he liked, and I'm using my quote fingers, liked John Cena or something like that, but he's not like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like
the AR Fox John Cena. That'd be
right.
different.
Cena had to go, man. Cena had to go.
Cena had to go, man. We got out Drew McIntyre and said,
"Yeah, right." But yeah, so I mean, it's funny because I mean, like I said, he's one of my closest friends, and I just still can't understand his love. Like TNA, I loved TNA. Don't get me wrong. In the first, we'll say 2-3 years that they existed, which
yeah.
has been what years ago. So yeah.
Before they bait switched the Jaws ride for the TNA event, and people walked in and were like, where's the shark? I'm like, no, we're good, just sit down.
It's going to be a huge event in Chicago, though, regardless. It's going to be louder than WrestleMania. It really
yeah.
is, because they do have a genuinely good card. I mean, obviously the garbage is going to be one of the Bella Twins versus whoever, because obviously Beth Phoenix got injured. I don't know if she's – I still don't even know if she's really injured or not, because – Dave Meltzer and those people are saying, yes, she's legitimately injured. But then you got PW Spyware, et cetera, saying that, no, it's part of the storyline.
Right.
And if it's part of the storyline, then they really screwed Beth out of becoming, you know, the longest-running female title holder, which is
From what I heard, she's not legitimately injured, and it is a storyline. And I don't know. I mean, Don Tony was saying on Monday that, you know, possibly because the Bella started the whole thing with Karma, and she's going to come back and then squash them.
Yeah.
They're going to be out of the company, and then next thing you know, now you got your Beth Phoenix and Karma thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be.
This is true. And not only is she supposed to debut at the pay-per-view, oh, it's going to be nuts, man.
Yeah,
I will say
that.
That
would be a good call.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. I'm like, it's not going to be, how do I put it? It's going to be for the wrestling fans that watch the internet, that really enjoy these characters more so than, you know, the fan-friendly Cena lovers, Big Show lovers, you know. I mean, what's the other match on the card? Randy Orton and Kane? Oof.
Again.
Right.
I guess lump the shit together. It's at least, you know.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Good.
I mean, yeah, I'll definitely share more than that. I mean, for sure.
I mean, imagine them just running a storyline where Kane has to wrestle CM Punk, and then you're like, oh, fuck. At least they're in one spot. You know?
Right.
Keep
right,
them over
right.
there.
Well.
Yeah, man. Well,
thanks,
yeah, definitely thanks for calling in. I highly appreciate it. This is a rare occasion where you're not doing a better show than mine on Thursday. And, you know, so...
like that. It's just, you know, tonight's, I took the night off. Me and Joey took the night off. He was spending some time with the folks. I wanted to fix up the website, so supposedly everything's going to be ready for Sunday. You know, we're going to have the new shirts and everything else like that, you know, self-promotion, blah, blah, blah. But this site will be all fucking hooked up for everybody, so it'll be really cool. So that's what I'm kind of working on.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I look forward to it. And, yeah, I mean, call back any other time you don't decide to do a show.
All right, Jay, you take it easy, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks, Mitch.
Bye.
Yeah, so that was my dude Anthony Missionary Thomas. I think I'm in archive now, so nobody could even hear me, so that's fantastic. But a big shout-out to, you know, Eric Riles in the chat, actually. This fucking guy is... He's awesome with designs and everything like that. I'm going to print these new shirts out coming up, and you're going to love them. Everyone's going to love them, I promise you. I really put a lot of my mind and my thought into this, and he put every bit of his, you know, his ability into it. And I busted his balls and kept going back and forth with him, what I liked, what I didn't like, but he's a great guy. So big shout-out to him. Big shout-out to Anthony Missionary Thomas, who's a dude that, you know, has continued to do phenomenal things on his own show and then help my show. And that's something that I think is not often seen, you know. I don't think you see that much of those people. A lot of those people are just bridge-burning motherfuckers, and they're just like, well, if it ain't my show, I don't give a fuck. This guy is helping other shows. He's helping other people. And I'm really happy for that. So, yeah. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Yolanda, who's about to do my new shirts, might I add. You know, and shout out to realsidemedia.com. I think that's John Gray over there. Check him out. He's, I think, going to shout me out sometime in the fucking future. Jesus Christ, I don't know. I think that's all my shout-outs. I think that's all I got. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing people. You know, I'm kind of a douche sometimes. So, you know, shout-out to Eric Tapout coming on tonight. He did a phenomenal interview, all that. You know, the whole thing. It just, you know, I enjoyed the show tonight. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I could be wrong. I have horrible taste. Anyway, I think we're done for tonight. Thank you, everybody who listened tonight. I appreciate it. Come back next Thursday. I might do a mini-sode this week. I know people bust my balls. I was going to do a mini-sode, but I want to test out the iPad and trying to do sound drops and stuff like that. So I might do a mini-sode this next week. If I don't, suck my dick. I don't give a fuck. You know. But, yeah, I'm going to throw this little under a minute track, and then after that, hit the outro, and I'll check y'all cast next week, man. Thanks.
Why can't play my toys?
Hey yo, this is a J Love exclusive.
Shit, rich, quick, scam, lick, dick, bitch, scram, basket, the biscuit. Oh shit, split, bam, bam, on terror. Hand the ball better. Death metal leather jacket on Pantera. Grand era, grand old, I be grand standing. Evil Knievel jump across the damn Grand Canyon. Last grand standing. Bruce Willis get caught. Next movie on point. Fucking most death shot. Body in the trunk, been there for 2 days. So the car drive by with the boom and you.
Jay Love in the motherfucking house.
Checking the mail like Newman. Get it?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over.